Well, good evening, Warrior fans, wherever you are tonight, and welcome to Amity Warrior Football. Jeff Clark and Ron Huber coming to you live from Salem Academy, where the Warriors take on the Crusaders of Salem Academy tonight in this 3A football matchup. This is a non-division matchup. They are in different divisions of the same conference, and we'll kind of cover that for you here in just a minute. Salem Academy comes into this 1-1. They have a loss to Pleasant Hill 41-35 and then defeated 2A Bandon 34-14. The Warriors, on the other hand, come into this game 2-0 with pretty convincing wins in each of their first two games. They took on the St. Mary's Crusaders also, aren't they? St. Mary's Crusaders in Medford, defeated them 51-7 in week one. Week two came home and played Neocani, a 2A powerhouse, and defeated them 60-20. And so the Warriors are sitting well right now, but have yet to play a meaningful game in terms of their actual division standings. So let's cover that for a second, Ron. OSAA did a redistricting and reclassification this last year and moved a few teams from 3A to 2A, such as Sheridan and Coquille, and a couple others moved. Had some 4A schools come down, like YC and what's the one down? Sutherland came down and a few others. And then redistricted after they did the reclassification, moved some things around, and a lot of the traditional rivalries got upset a little bit there. So now we are the Pac West of 3A, and we are part of the West Division in Amity. That includes Rainier, Clatskanie, Willamina, Taft, and Dayton. Now, don't expect to see all those same teams when we play basketball.
No.
Because they're not all in our league for basketball. So that's one of the strange differences, is who we play in football is different than who we're going to play in volleyball and basketball.
I was talking with Barnett, who's the athletic director, of course, and he was talking about, he goes, there's like different league for basketball, different league for volleyball, different league for, and he's like,
wrestling, track,
yeah,
baseball.
Six different leagues.
It's crazy.
Or something like that.
So in the out of that West Division, the top two teams, when this is all over, will get automatic berths in the state playoffs. The top two teams from the East will also get an automatic state playoff berth. That's Madras, Yamhill-Carlton, Salem Academy, Blanchette, Scio, and Corbett. Now, if you know anything about Oregon geography, you are immediately trying to figure out this whole East-West thing, because you're trying to figure out why YC is in the East and Dayton and Amity are in the West, as well as Rainier and Clatskanie. So it is kind of funky. You got to draw a line somewhere. YC was willing when they did this. They actually volunteered and they said, hey, we will go east. We'll go to Madras. We'll make that trip. So they're going to do a ton of traveling from YC. They're going to Madras. They're going as far south as Scio, a couple trips into Salem and out to Corbett. So they're going to see their share of travel compared to what we have to do for league. Though we do have to go up to Rainier and Clatskanie, which is a pretty good trip for us.
And yeah, and among the other trips we're going to have this, even in this football season.
Yeah, we will be headed down to Coquille in a couple of weeks, which is, they are a 3A school that dropped down to 2A this year, and so we'll be headed down there to play them as well. So that's the way that's going to work. You're going to get two from the East, two from the West, and then the next two best RPI ranked teams on OSAA's website from the whole conference, from the whole Pac West League, will get a berth into the state playoffs. So six teams total, two from each division automatically, and then two at large based on RPI. So when we look at that, we know we've got some tough teams. We got Clatskanie, which might be the favorite coming into the season out of all of these teams that we've talked about, either East or West. They're a very strong team. We had a tough win against them last year at home.
Yep.
And we'll play them again this year at home, and it'll be a tough one.
And Rainier.
We'll travel up to Rainier.
Rainier will be a tough ball
game. They'll be a solid game also. They're, they were good last year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you don't want to assume Blanchett will be a pushover, though they will not have the same quarterback they've had the last 3 years, as R.J. Valise decided to go to Woodburn, I believe.
Well, Derek just told me, it was a revelation to me, that his dad's the new head football coach at Woodburn.
Wonder how that worked. Interesting. Strange things. Or as they used to say, things that make you go,
But they also took, Derek also said they took four kids from Blanchett.
Wow. That's a pretty big hit.
Yeah, these little schools, you take four
athletes.
We're athletes. And Valise is, we know.
He was the athlete.
We know from basketball he beat us by himself.
And as good a basketball player was, I thought he was a better quarterback just because he's just a natural leader, do a little bit of everything for you, just a great athlete with a great head on his shoulders.
Well, we know Justin Hubbard, the coach, had to be just
devastated,
broken because Valise started for him when he was a freshman.
Yeah, absolutely, and was effective.
Yeah.
And now, so Blanchette will be probably a different football team, but they do have a good coach.
Yep.
And you never know with a private school who's coming in or out as an upperclassman. A lot of times we'll see some changes there. So the Warriors come into this game playing some really good football. And honestly, Ron, in my 6 years of being here, this is my seventh football season now, watching Amity play. This is the most complete team I've seen. I'm not saying they have the best running back I've seen. I'm not saying they have the best line or anything else. But this is a complete team that can beat you in more ways than I have ever seen a Joel McGill team be able to beat you.
Well, it harkens back to one or two of the Flood teams that didn't have, I'm thinking of the time when Brett Rohde was a quarterback. They didn't have the all-state running back or the all-state quarterback or all-state lineman, but they had 10 to 12 kids that were just good kids.
Yeah, and I think what you're seeing with this team is that we've got some kids that have grown into their positions. Wes Streeter's been a running back playing a lot for 3 years. But he's a different running back this year as a senior than he was even last year. And he was an effective running back last year. This year, he's playing at a different level.
Well, he obviously has been in the weight room. He's lost weight. If a little guy like him can lose weight. But he's lost weight, and it's muscle. And is just better on his feet. Like last week, that was just amazing to watch him run.
And I got a chance to visit with him this week a little bit. And I said, hey, you're listed at 200 pounds. You are not 200 pounds. He said, no, I'm about 180.
Yeah.
He said, I've lost some weight. He said, man, I'm feeling quicker and stronger than ever before. And so we fully expect him to continue to be a real handful. And they're able to run that pitch, you know, that toss out to the side to him now, where he wasn't real effective at getting that corner last year.
He was
now
more just straight ahead. Yeah.
Now he can get the corner on you and turn it upfield. He took one to the house 61 yards on his first touch against Neocani. And I guarantee they didn't have that on any film.
No.
Because we hadn't seen it. And then I think you look at, you know, Johnny Mather is a senior, a nice complimentary back. Brian Hatch gives you that burst, that quickness. All three of these guys can now take it to the house from anywhere on the field. How do you defend three different running backs with home run capabilities? Excuse me. And then you throw in the fact that you got the best wide receiver in small school football.
Yes. And Valencia, you have to count Valencia too, because I call them the three clones, because him and Hatch and Streeter, I mean, they're all – barely, what, 5'6", maybe? All exactly the same, and all probably 180.
Streeter a little heavier.
Yep.
Valencia and Hatch, not quite as heavy. But, yeah, they all beat you. Valencia, given Hatch some breathers off the bench, looked really good against Neocani. And I'll tell you where Valencia's really shining is at that nose tackle position.
Yes.
100, whatever he weighs, 140 pounds, 5'7". He's not a big kid.
We probably got to do a better job of pointing that out on defense, because he changed that whole offense last week.
He was in the backfield consistently, tripping guys up, blowing up plays, and just really, he even had a tip pass last week, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, he's one we'll keep an eye on in this game and see if he continues to have that kind of dominant effort there. And I've talked to a few coaches, you know, Joel McGill's one, Jack Henderson and Dufour, who's got, I think he, how was he, got 8 or 9 rings now as a football coach. He'll tell you his best nose tackles have been guys who are small and quick. They are so hard to block, and those big linemen can't get below them.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here and come back and set you up with some starting lineups, some players to watch in this game. You are listening to Amity Warrior Football on KLYC McMinnville.
Davison Auto Parts, supporting high school athletics throughout the Willamette Valley. If you're looking for quality auto parts, everything from wiper blades to spark plugs, and most importantly, the people that can give you the good answers, factual answers based on years of experience, it's Napa Auto Parts and Davison Auto Parts. Quality people, knowledgeable, and friendly, always willing to help. Davison Auto Parts throughout the Willamette Valley, supporting high school sports.
If you run a business in Yamhill County, what listeners should be hearing right now is the name of your business and why people should buy at your store or use your service. That's what advertising is. Advertising on KLYC is not an expense. It's an investment in your business to draw customers through your door and ring your till. KLYC Radio in McMinnville has a proven track record of improving customer traffic. Contact Dave Adams at dave@klyc.us to set up an appointment to discuss how advertising on KLYC can be a positive investment for your business. Often the first impression for your business is your logo and your business card. McMinnville businesses have learned over the past 20 years that if you want a printing job done right, the place to go is Copycats. Copycats at 235 North Highway 99 in Mac will help you design your logo and business cards and then get everything printed the way you want it. When it comes to printing, the only thing you need to know is their phone number, 503-472-0119. Copycats.
Thank you. My car's like new. J&W Car Star will do the same for you.
An auto accident can be a very frustrating experience. It doesn't have to be. At J&W Car Star, we take pride in both our customer service as well as the repairs we do. Turn in your claim and relax. We'll take it from here.
J&W Car Star Collision Repair. Come see the people who care.
Welcome back, Warrior fans. Captains are headed out to the middle of the field here at Salem Academy, where your Warriors get set to take on the Crusaders.
I have a question.
Yeah, fire away, Ron.
It seems like they've done this now the last 2 weeks. It used to be you did that coin toss 10 minutes before the game, so you knew what you were doing. But
yeah, they've changed it up, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to comment on that last week, but I thought maybe it was just messed up because we were starting
late.
Because
of the weather.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, discombobulated.
Or that bus trip, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this week, everybody was here on time. So,
and they're just now doing the coin flip right when the clock comes down to zero. Now you got to stand around. And
it is interesting,
and you
isn't
don't
it?
Know if you're going on offense or defense.
You know who you're sending out there. That is interesting. I have to ask Joel about that.
We used to do that 10 or 15 minutes, so when we went back in, we would be able to know.
Here's who's on the field to start. Here's what we want to do.
Well, I'm kind of ancient history, so.
No. So they won the toss, and they declined. So we will, I assume, be receiving the ball here to start this game.
Made the
so
choice.
They're going to turn it around. Warriors are going to go left to right in front of us here, and they're going to receive to start this game.
But if you look at it, we're going to have the win for the second and the fourth quarter. So that I don't know if that was such a wise choice by Salem Academy.
I don't know if it's going to matter, Ron, honestly, but we'll see. Well, we don't want to count those chickens yet.
If you're going to throw the ball like they say they want to, wouldn't you choose the win for the second and fourth quarter?
One would think. So starting quarterback for Salem Academy is number 18, Cole Hardy, who is a 6'5", 180-pound junior. And some of the key position guys, you'll hear their names called tonight. Jacob Holler, a 5'8", 160-pound senior running back. And wide receiver, excuse me. Cameron Hasselbacker, who I have called that name in basketball before. 5'9", 170-pound junior running back. And then Hunter Schwenke, who is a 6-foot, 160-pound wide receiver. And so those are the guys I think we're going to be calling the names of most. They've also got a wide receiver, number 80, Titus Spangle, a 6-foot, 175-pound senior, and a tight end, Dawson Patton, number 85, a 6'6", 185-pound senior. So this is a team that likes to spread it out. They like to go four wides a lot, and that includes moving their tight ends out into the wide positions. And so we'll see if they're still trying to approach that or not. They don't have the athletes they had a couple of years ago when they beat us at our place. Holler
onside
kicks off.
Kick.
It's a little onside kick, a little squibber, and that's covered by
Jordan
52.
Dyke.
Jordan Dyke.
Excellent
job.
Smart play.
And I'll tell you what they don't know is Jordan Dyke's got great hands.
Yeah,
you kick a squibber at Jordan. Jordan's going to handle that. He's a baseball player. He used to be a skill position player before he got a little bigger, and they moved him to a line. He can play some tight end for you. So that's a perfect guy for Amity to have a squibber kicked at.
Yeah. Went right after it and got it, fell on it.
Yep. Did exactly what you're supposed to do. So the Warriors take over at their own 49-yard line. Great field position to get this thing started. Salem Academy tries to buy themselves an extra possession with that squib kick. Doesn't work. Parr under center, wing T formation. Richardson split out wide left. Parr takes a snap. It's going to hand off to Hatch going left. Hatch got a block right there. Cuts it back up across the 45 to the 40 and knocked down there about the 39. That'll be enough for a first down, Warriors. And leading the way out there on that blocking, number 60, Robbie Scharf, that lead block, he pulled out there. And Hatch cut right in off his backside and turned it upfield.
Probably he looked like he could have broke it outside. It was
he could have. I think he was reading that Scharf block and decided he was going to cut it up in. And Robbie had him sealed off pretty good there. So Warriors, first and 10 now, ball at the 38-yard line of Salem Academy. Warriors, par under center, wing T formation. Jackson split out. This is going to be Streeter up the middle. He breaks a couple tackles across the 30. Touchdown. 25, touchdown. He's going to take it all the way. Wes Streeter with a 38-yard touchdown run right up the middle. And what Derek told me before the game turns out to be true. He said they don't have anybody that can tackle Wes Streeter. Derek's shaking his head. He's up here in the booth with us again tonight. And nobody really laid a hand on him in there. Some good blocking up front. He went right off. Looked like he went right off the right guard there. And took that all the way into the house, straight up the middle of the field. And if we can do that, we can do anything we want, Ron. Once you've established that, you've opened a can of worms. I formation, Mather the deep back behind behind Streeter. Mather takes it right up the middle and into the end zone for the two-point conversion. 8-0 Warriors. And the clock stops at 11-11. So 49 seconds in and the Warriors are on the board. They had the short field starting at their own 49 there after the squib kick that Jordan Dyke recovered. And the Warriors take it down quick on two plays. That's a lowering my expectations there a little bit. Last week it was two plays and a touchdown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're starting a little slower, but nonetheless, exactly what Coach McGill wanted, I'm sure, and that is to establish right away that they can run outside or inside at their own leisure. So the Warriors will send out their kicking unit now. Lights have come on here at Salem Academy.
So he scored at 11-17, and now the clock says 11-11.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there, Ron. It was running all the
– yeah, they ran it for the extra point.
They may have. And that might be their way of trying to shorten the game a little bit here at Salem Academy. So no Josh Wart tonight. Josh out with a concussion after that. There was an illegal hit in the Neocani game, and Josh will be out for probably a couple more weeks still. But he was back in school on Thursday. That was a good sign, and he had a good sense of humor, is able to interact with people really well, and so it looks like he's making good progress on the concussion front. So kicking for the Warriors, number 14, Michael Duncan, who has a lot of experience as a kicker. And he drives this one down the middle of the field to about the 15-yard line fielded there by number 5. That's Holler. Holler taking it to the right outside. Open. He's got a little bit of room out there. Jackson meets him at the 40 and wrestles him out of bounds about the 43-yard line. So nice return there. Took it at the 15 and ended up at the 43. So 11:02 to go first quarter. Warriors up 8-0, and we'll see what the defense can do out here against this spread offense. Assuming that Salem Academy comes out and decides to stay in that spread offense. And they do. They've got three wides, four wides. So one of their tight ends is split out, or number 80. I guess he's a wide receiver. So they've got three wides left, one to the right. And a running back, there's a high snap, handed to the running back. He stumbles and falls and lost a yard on the play. He tripped over the line there, I think, at the 40. I think that was Holler on the carry.
Number six.
Nope, was it six? As Hasselbacker on the carry, sorry. Hasselbacker in the backfield. Holler is split wide out to the left here. They split out number 80, Spangle, to the right, and then two slot receivers. Not one slot receiver, and now they've got a tight end in there on the right side. High snap, fumbled on the handoff, and it's on the ground. So twice they try to spread it out, and both times it's a loss of yardage. This time they lose two more. It's going to be third and 13 for the Crusaders. So the Warriors really haven't had to do much on defense yet because the running back fell down once, and they fumbled the handoff. That was a bad handoff by the quarterback.
Bad
he
snap.
Handed it off by his helmet.
Started out as a bad snap.
Yeah, and never really got a handle on it.
No.
Now the Warriors bring some pressure. There's a pass over the middle. Should be intercepted. Oh, almost. Cody Dyke almost had it, but it was a low throw, and he was diving to get it. He read it well. He just couldn't get back on the ball. I don't know how the footing is on this field. It's an old turf field. Derek says the footing's okay on it, but we've seen their running back stumble, and now we've seen Cody maybe not get quite the push he thought he was going to get. Hatch and
Valencia.
Nope. There's a low kick. Hatch is going to take this at about the 31. Peyton with a good block there. Hatch going left. Hatch trying to get to the outside. Turns it up. Tried to turn it up. Nice tackle from behind by Hasselbacker. Chased down Hatch as Hatch was trying to weave through some traffic there. So the Warriors will take over at their own 39-yard line. First and 10 there. So that punt, they had that ball. I don't know what that punt was worth on a net. Maybe 25 yards net.
Yeah,
it was about the 40, right? So 21 yards net on that punt after the return. Warriors break the huddle. Smith spread out to the left. Hatch wide right. And a slot receiver, Niseth. This is a little different look here. Single wing formation is Mather. Hand off to Streeter. Nobody touches him until he gets to the 50-yard line, and he's brought down there by a couple of green jerseys. Number 80, Spangle, and Haller, number 5, in on the tackle, but not until he picks up about 12 yards or so out to the 50-yard line. First and 10, Warriors at midfield. Clock running, 9:40 left to go here in the first quarter. Warriors already up 8-0. This is their second possession of the game. Warriors in their traveling white uniforms with the royal blue pants with gray stripes down the side. Richardson split out wide to the right. I formation. They're going to give to Hatch on the counter. Hatch up the middle. Nobody touches him until he gets inside the 45. He's wrestled down across the 40 at the 39-yard line. Nice run by Brian Hatch there on the counter. He came from the right wing position there and was able to take that up inside and pick up positive yardage for another first down. Ball spotted at about the 38.5-yard line.
Some really nice holes.
Yeah, the line's doing a fantastic job so far, isn't it, Ron?
On this side, Jordan Dyke and Robbie Scharf. The other side is
Niseth at the tight end position here on this near side to us. Warriors still going left to right. There's the inside handoff. Nope, coming around. This is going to be Mather. Mather turns it upfield across the 30, and he's going to take it to the house. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Warriors! Johnny Mather made something out of nothing on that one, and he takes it all the way into the end zone. Mather, with that sprinter speed, once he gets those shoulders turned upfield and going north and south, he can really turn on the Jets, and he does there and puts the Warriors in the end zone for the second time today. So that was about a 38-yard touchdown run, Ron. Is that what you gave him?
Yeah.
On that one. So another long run for the Warriors. And the backs have split a couple of touchdowns now, one for Mather and one for Streeter. Now the Warriors go wing T formation instead of the I here for the two-point. Hatch in motion. They hand to Streeter right up the middle. He's hit and stopped, I think. No good. So nice wrap-up and tackle there. Not sure who was in on that tackle, but somebody laid a pretty good hit coming from the side on Streeter and able to knock him off balance there.
Yeah, the hole was there, but it was just a little slow.
8:43 left to go, first quarter. Warriors ahead 14-0 after two possessions. And
see, the clock ran again because I had them score at 8:47.
They only like 4 seconds they let run off the clock. It wasn't the whole two-point conversion.
They're running the clock during.
Well, not the whole thing, but they're not stopping it when they should for sure. Warriors will be kicking off again. So we've seen Niseth taking over the tight end position tonight so far for Wart. That's a big target missing in this game, but we're just hoping Josh is able to get back sometime here, maybe mid-season. I'm assuming he'll miss the Coquille game and probably the Taft game, but maybe by Willamina we'll see Josh again there on 10-5, and if everything goes well with his healing process, we just wish the best for Josh.
New kicker.
So this is going to be exchange student, number 77. He is not on my roster. This is the Italian Federico, right?
Oh,
Federico,
man,
with a nice kick,
trouble.
And it rolls down inside the 5 into the end zone, and they'll get a touchback out of this.
Really lucky.
Federico. I'm just going to go with his first name. Federico, who's an exchange student from Italy, a soccer player, booms that one down the middle of the field. And so his first varsity experience there is a good one as he gets a touchback. And the ball will start at the 20-yard line. Unlike the NFL where they bring it out to the 25, in high school it's the 20-yard line still. So Salem Academy moving right to left in their green jerseys with white pants and white helmets. They have kind of a forest green, pretty dark green that they wear. Two wides left, one right, high snap. That's quarterback right. Throws over the middle, knocked away. Good defense there by Cody Dyke. Came up quickly on number 85, Dawson Patton, the tight end, to challenge that catch, and it's incomplete. Quarterback does not throw with a lot of touch there. He threw that fastball, what was that, a seven-yard pattern maybe, and threw a fastball high to his tight end, and his tight end's about 6'6", so not an easy pass to catch, and Cody Dyke right there on the coverage. Warriors in their base defense. Quarterback drops back, throws deep over the middle. Incomplete, intended for number five, Jacob Haller. Overthrew him by about 3 yards. Coverage there by Eli Jackson.
He was open.
He was open, but it would have taken a very nice touch pass to drop it in there. Because he threw that ball early. He just kind of threw it out there and hoped his wide receiver could run underneath the ball. It wasn't exactly thrown to his wide receiver. It was just thrown out there. So third and 10, first two passes of the game for the Crusaders are incomplete now. There's a snap, quarterback looks. It's going to be picked off. Brian Hatch with the interception at the 26, and he will take it down the right sideline and into the corner as he sneaks in on the inside of the pylon for the touchdown. Brian Hatch with the pick six from the 26-yard line.
Who was he throwing to? I mean, it went right to Brian. There wasn't anybody.
Well, Brian was just reading the quarterback. We play that soft zone on the outside there, and he just read the quarterback's eyes. It was supposed to be a quick slant. The quarterback threw it to a spot once again, and the receiver wasn't even close to that. Brian jumped that route and threw it right to his numbers, and he takes it down the right sideline, 26 yards for the touchdown. 20-0 Warriors, and they're going to try the point after kick here.
Now they've been working with a new center. So who's snapping the ball right now?
Looks like 52. It is.
It's Jordan?
Yeah, I don't know who it is. We'll 52. See. We'll see when he stands up. Eli, the holder.
Oh, they're offside.
And then we got a false start, offsides. I don't know what they're going to call. So we'll see.
Bernard's moved.
It looked like they moved first and then our guard responded to that, but we'll see if they go half the distance or if they back us up five here. It is going to be illegal procedure on the Warriors. So they'll back it up 5 yards and try it again. Michael Duncan, the kicker.
52 is the center. That's Jordan.
That's Jordan Dyke. So Vito had some challenges on the long snap. He's very good in the offense, but he had some hard time with that snap to the kicker. It's a different snap to the setter or to the holder than it is to a quarterback.
And look, unlike most other teams that play, we do not do long snaps.
There's the snap. It's down. Kick is up and looks good. And it is. Nice job. Michael Duncan had lots of leg on that. That looked good. So I'm going to say Duncan's good out to about 30, 35 yards on the field goal attempt, Mr. Keene, Coach Keene. Duncan can do a 35-yard field goal if we need him to. Anytime, he says. Anytime. I like Mark Keene's enthusiasm and his confidence in his players. It makes me feel good about our chances in a low-scoring affair if we need to kick a long field goal after hearing you say that, Mark. 8:19 left to go, first quarter. Warriors up 21-0. And we may see a running clock here right after halftime. I'm assuming the rule is still the same, Coach Barnett, that you don't get a running clock. You're going to turn me down?
Oh, I thought it was me.
You turned down the wrong one. There we go. Huber just turning me off there. Reach back and turn me off. All right. Warriors coming back out to kick. Warriors back out to kick. It's going to be Frederico again, number 77, staying with local host family. Charlie and Jerry Sunderland have him as an exchange student. They've done a few exchange students over the year. This is the first one from Italy.
Yeah, mostly German. I think they had a couple Germans.
Frederico kicking it off.
Oh,
it's a pooch. It's a high pooch kick to about the 40. Takes a bounce, another bounce. Oh, and it's fielded at the 35. I don't know if that was on purpose or not. That's a crazy kick. He kicked that thing about 30 feet in the air.
I think he missed it.
But only about 20 yards. Took a nice high bounce after it hit, and Peyton Richardson almost got there before that ball was fielded. That's one to put back in the memory bank there that you might be able to use at a later time. Maybe it was a mishit. Coach Keene, was that a miss hit or was that on purpose? We were going for height, he says. All right, so we're going to go with that was on purpose. All right, three wides right, one left for the Crusaders. Warriors bringing some pressure, quick throw,
nice
completed.
Catch.
Dyke on the tackle, the completion to Jacob Haller. First completed pass of the game by either team. It's good for 11 yards. and a first down at the 41-yard line of Salem Academy. That was a nice throw right there.
That was really well thrown.
That one, he stuck right in the helmet of his receiver. The receiver pulled it in. Now they go two wide on each side, slot receivers. There's a quick pitch out to the right side to Holler. Holler tries to turn it upfield, and he's still going. Finally drug down by Cody Dyke after a big gain of about 17 yards to the 37-yard line of Amity. And that's what we saw them do a lot to us a couple years ago on our field, is they threw that ball out into the flat on just the little wide receiver screen and tried to get that guy in space. And Holler is clearly his number one target. Hatch up close on that side. Warriors give a look of a man-to-man defense here on the coverage, and then we're going to have a false start or an offsides, one of the two. We'll see what the call is here. They're going to back him up 5 yards. Dead ball, and the Warriors will put Salem Academy Crusaders into a first and 15 with that false start. Ball now at the 42-yard line of Salem Academy, or excuse me, of Amity. Salem Academy on the first down still. So now the Warriors, it looks to me like the Warriors are manning up on the receivers, but I'm getting a head shake saying it's still zone. But it has the look of man. There's a drop back pass over the slant, and ooh, it's dropped a little low, intended for number 85, Michael Pass, 6'1", or excuse me, Dawson Patton, a 6'6 tight end. And he was open. It was just a little low. And that's kind of the gamble you take by playing the zone defense, is you're gambling that, number one, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to be able to put pressure on the quarterback quickly. And number two, and force him to not make good throws. Number two, that he can't make those good throws consistently downfield to get first downs. Second and 15. Inside handoff. Running back headed to the right. He's got a little bit of room there. He's across the 40 and down to the 30. Ball's loose. They're going to say he was down at the 35. That was Hasselbacher with the carry. Picks up 7 yards. It's going to be 3rd and 8. Ball spotted on the far hash mark from us. Lights are on. It's kind of dusky here.
Those lights are not going to be very bright.
They don't look like it, do they?
Nope.
Looks like we're going to have a pretty dim field here once it gets dark. Shotgun for kind of a pistol formation. Quarterback draws back. Wants to throw. He's hit and dropped down. West Streeter with a sack back at the 40-yard line. A loss of 5 on the play. 4th and 12 coming up. And I don't know what happened there. The quarterback kind of double clutched. He went from his, he got off his first read to his second read, and then it was too late. So they're going to go for it, I think, here. Down 21-0 to the Warriors. 6:20 and counting to go, first quarter. And the Warriors defense stiffening here after giving up a couple of big plays.
Five. We just got to find where 5 is.
He does seem to be the weapon of choice, right? There's the snap. Quarterback rolls to his left. Throws. Intercepted. Cody Dyke with a pick at the 40, or it's the 37. Gets it all the way back to the 50. Across that to the 49. Cody Dyke with the turnover. Outstanding job by Cody Dyke to read that. The officials are conferring here, but I don't see any flag on the field.
Yeah, I thought he threw it.
I don't see any laundry.
Roughing the passer.
Oh. It's going to be a roughing the pass. Oh, there it is. It's right out at midfield.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. It's on the Salem Academy. So that is too bad. That's going to be a 15-yard penalty nullifying the interception. I don't know who that roughing the passer was on. I didn't see who hit him. But Dyke made a great play on the ball for the pick, but all for naught, as instead of being a turnover, they're going to have a first down at the 25-yard line of Amity. So the defense is going to get challenged here again. I didn't see that. I saw the officials coming back to confer at midfield, and then I saw the laundry out there, that flag on the out on the Salem Academy insignia at midfield. It was kind of camouflaged out there a little bit. So first and 10 at the 25 of Amity now. 3 wide receivers right, 1 left. Number 5 is the guy to watch, Holler. He's in the slot. Quarterback rolls right, throws to Holler, and he drops it. He had it. He looked upfield before he secured it. It was really about a 1-yard pass. They're just trying to get Holler in space and let him go. Holler, a 5'8", 160-pound senior wide receiver, and he's quick in the open field, and that's what they're trying to do, is just get him in space. You hear coaches talk about that a lot, about guys who operate in space well, and if you give them some space, they're tough. Holler now split out wide. Nope, he's going to go in the slot on the left side. Single back is Hasselbacher. Snap. Pitch to Hasselbacher. He's cut off, cuts back in, and Streeter comes up and makes a great backside tackle. It was a great job. Seth Valencia actually hopped out there, took away the right side, turned it back inside, and Hasselbacher on the cut didn't know Streeter was coming from the backside. Streeter, nice shoulder tackle down below the knees, takes him out, and basically no gain, giving about a half a yard on the play.
Streeter had to come from a long way. He was on this far side, caught the play from behind.
Yeah, great pursuit there by West, staying with that. Third and 9.5 here. Quarterback is Hardy. He drops back, throws into the slot. Right off the hands of Nyseth. I started to say picked off before he secured it. He's a baseball player. Maybe he needs a glove. Can get him a glove. Right into the hands of Nyseth.
He was running before he caught it.
Dylan was going to have a big play if he had been able to secure that. Dylan, a 5'9 junior linebacker. He read that. He was in the right spot, dropped into that zone, and had two hands up just like he looked like he knew what he was doing, but it went right through him. I'm sure Dad's cringing down below us here. Fourth and long.
Going to get to him.
Hardy throws in the slot. Wrap up, brought down short of the first down. Ball's loose. Fumble picked up by the Warriors. Actually lost a couple yards on that fumble because if we had just tackled him, we would have had him down at about the 18. Instead, we're going to have the ball at the 16 on the fumble. But nice job by the Warriors. Who had that fumble recovery, Ron? Dylan Nyseth.
Yep.
So didn't get the interception. Ends up getting
the fumble
recovery and lost a couple of yards on it. But that's okay. Good hustle by the junior. 21-0, Warriors up. 5:04 left to go first quarter. Trevor Smith split out wide to the left. Wing T formation. Hatch, Mather, and Streeter in the backfield. Parr under center. Takes a snap. It's going to be right up the middle. The Streeter bounces off a couple guys across the 20. 25 and the 30, and he's pulled out of bounds at the 31-yard line. Outstanding run, Wes Streeter. You know, he came off of, I got to look and see, I think 67 was engaged in a block. Streeter actually ran into him on his hip. But he was so quick to bounce off of him, he never had a chance to disengage from the tackle and try to get him. So great job by Wes Streeter there just to make that happen. He got past Strunk, and Strunk never knew what happened. Wing T. Warriors going to go with Hatch around the left side. He cuts it back up and in. They're doing a good job of sealing off the corner.
Yeah.
They haven't allowed Hatch to get outside yet. He only gets about a yard and a half on that one. Little shoving after the play there. That was Hasselbacher and Hatch mixing it up a little bit. A little shoving, but no foul.
Gain of a yard.
Going to give him a yard on that play, Ron says. So second and nine, whatever. Second and eight, second and nine, something like that. Depends on if you look at the ball or you look at the down box over there. Warriors second and long. 4 minutes now and counting here in the first quarter. Wing T formation. Jackson split out left. Going to give it to Mather, coming around the right side. Mather breaks a couple tackles out close to the 40. Going to be brought down to the 39. It'll be third and about two when the Warriors get back up to the line of scrimmage. This officiating crew is doing a good job of spotting the ball quickly, calling a game real tight here, I think. This is the best officiating we've seen this year.
Yeah.
This crew's on top of things. Warriors up to the line of scrimmage. Wing T formation. Now it's Richardson out left. Wouldn't surprise me if we go to Richardson here. They're going to hand off. Nope, they're going to throw. Nope, they're going to throw to Mather out in the flat. Mather at the 41. Across that now the 50 down the sideline and wrapped up at the 45-yard line. 44-yard line. Johnny Mather. I thought he was going to Richardson down the side, and instead he just dumps it out in the flat to an uncovered Johnny Mather.
17 yards.
17 yards on the play, Ron says. First down, Warriors. Clock running here, 3:15 and counting to go. First quarter, Warriors looking to go up four touchdowns here if they can finish off this drive. First and 10 at the 44-yard line of Salem Academy. Nyseth now splitting out into the slot from the tight end position. Hatch wide right. Smith left. They go to Streeter right up the middle. Breaks a couple tackles.
Oh.
Still going. Breaks another one. Lost the ball, and it's recovered by Salem Academy, I think.
I think so.
No, Streeter has it again. Streeter comes out of there with the ball. Oh. I don't know how he got the ball back. He just took it from somebody because he didn't have that ball.
No.
That ball popped out of there, and it was touched by at least two or three other players by both teams, I think.
He lost it on the hit. It went clear up in the air.
And somehow he got back on there and took it from somebody before the official could get back there. So first and it's going to be second and one. He gets nine on the play. Going to take better care of that football, Wes. Hatch in motion. They go to Hatch. Hatch. Now he bounces it outside. This time he's going to get it to the 30, 25, down the sideline, ripped up and taken down at about the 19-yard line. Brian Hatch, that time able to turn the corner and force the defensive backs to have to come across the field and make the stop. 2:12 as he goes out of bounds and stops the clock.
36 to the 19.
So 17 yards on that one, Ron, on a second and one play. First time we've seen Hatch be able to get that corner. Mm-hmm. Every other time he's had to turn it up inside. Now they go I formation. Mather behind Streeter. Richardson wide right. I think this is going to Richardson. That's my guess here. Parr looks to Richardson, throws to the corner. Richardson making an adjustment, and that should be interference. They're not going to call it. Wow.
He did not even turn around.
Well, and I think you can face guard in high school, if I'm correct. I'm going to check with Barnett here on the rules. Are you allowed to face guard? You have to play the ball. So he needs to turn around. Look, he didn't play the ball at all. He never turned around. Should have been interference. No call there. I would come right back to that, honestly. I would tell the official what happened, and then I would come back and throw that same play. And I think Keene's listening to me. He's going to tell McGill to do that. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, we know that Mark's making the calls here. Same formation, but this time Jackson split out wide right. They give to Hatch. Hatch breaks touchdown. It all the way in. He's going to take it to the house. Brian Hatch with his first touchdown. Second touchdown because he got one on an interception. He takes it in from the 19-yard line. For the touchdown, Brian Hatch, nice running that time on the counter. Took it right between the left guard and tackle. Good hole there on that side of the line, too. That is Bernards, and who's got the guard there on that position? Is that McMullen?
Yes.
McMullen and Bernards. Yep. Great job opening a hole on that left side for Hatch to run through.
Nicholas McMullen is a sophomore.
Yeah. Solidly built sophomore. Extra point attempt, and we're going to have a false start, I think, again. I think we might have moved the ball. We'll see.
Oh, Jordan.
And it is going to be, I think Jordan moved the ball, and then that got the defense to jump. And that's an inexperienced center. He's a good snapper, but he just doesn't have a lot of experience playing center. So we'll try it again from 5 yards deeper. Michael Duncan, the kicker. Eli Jackson, the holder. 1:56 to go in the first quarter here. They haven't put our points up. That kind of bothers me a little bit, but we'll see what happens here. Snap is down, kick is up, and good again. Michael Duncan drilling extra points tonight.
Yeah.
And that'll make the score 28-0 once they get the scoreboard up to date. 1:50 to go, first quarter. We're going to take a quick commercial break. This is KLYC McMinnville. We'll be right back.
In business and taking care of your needs since 1983, it's D&D Electrical. Big company support, small town service. They are your full service contractor, residential, commercial, and industrial, including low voltage and security. It's D&D Electrical. When asked, their answer is usually, yes, we can do that. From solar to security systems to industrial control, D&D Electrical can handle the job. 503-472-4003. Ready to go to work for you right now. D&D Electrical, McMinnville.
All right, teams are back out on the field. Warriors leading 28-0 with 1:50 to go in the first quarter. Jeff Clark and Ron Huber bringing you live Amity Warrior football here on KLYC McMinnville. I want to thank Dave Adams, as usual, for his support of Amity Athletics and giving us this live stream to be able to work with. And we appreciate you wherever you are tonight listening. John Stearns, if you're listening back there in Payton, Colorado, welcome back to the broadcast. I know he was going to attend a football game back there and then pick up our broadcast late, so he may not be there yet. Frederico with the kick. High kick. Fumbled at about the 28. Picked back up and returned across the 35 to the 36-yard line by number 48. That is Caden Solinger, a 6-foot junior, that return. Fortunate that that fumble went right through his hands, hit the ground, and kind of stayed there for him. So the Warriors defense out on the field. We got some subs out there. We got Russell Brown playing that right defensive end now.
I think he's been in there.
Has he been in there the whole time? Oh, they've got him at linebacker. I take it back. So
yeah.
So only a two-man down front here. Valencia and can't see who the other one is. There's a low pass skipped to the receiver intended for who else but Haller. Trying to see who that is. That's 62. That's why I couldn't figure it out. I didn't think that looked like Jordan Dyke out there. That's Philip West playing one of the down linemen. Valencia playing the other. Russell Brown is playing a defensive end, but he's doing it from a stand-up position. So the Warriors giving a little different look there to the offensive line. So West, Valencia, and Brown up front. Streeter, Nyseth, and Mather behind him. There's a quick pitch out to the right, and they gang tackle or swarm out there and force the running back, Hasselbacker, out of bounds after a short gain. It's going to be third down and eight. They're going to give him two on that. That was good pursuit by that Amity defense. They had about four white jerseys out there. Third and eight coming up. Ball at the 37-yard line of the Crusaders. Three wides out to the right, one to the left. Haller in the slot on the right. Snap. Quarterback rolls right. Throws to Haller. Haller makes a dip in, goes back out. He's wrapped up and brought down just short of the first down. Good running there by Haller. He did not go down easy. Three white jerseys in on the tackle. Peyton Richardson and Wes Streeter among them. Nope, not Streeter, Valencia. How does Valencia get out there and get part of that tackle from the nose tackle position? He went from the nose tackle to chasing down the receiver on the sideline. There aren't many nose tackles that I've ever seen that can do that. He might have a future. It helps that Seth is actually a running back playing nose tackle and doing a great job of it, by the way. Fourth and one here for the Crusaders. Ball at the 44-yard line of Salem Academy.
And they're going for it.
And they're going to go for it. Two wides left. They've got a tight end this time on the right side. One wide receiver to the right. They're going to hand it to the running back. He is hit, racked up, and brought down. Warrior football on turnover on downs. What a great stop. Russell Brown in on that. Getting some head slaps from some teammates there. They do a great job of getting that stop on short yardage. Loss of a yard on the play, and the Warriors will take over, maybe half a yard. Warriors will take over inside Salem Academy territory with 34 seconds left to go in the first quarter. 28-0 Warriors. And these lights are not very good.
They won't be.
Boy, I feel like I've got sunglasses on, Ron.
They won't be. There's nothing there.
Boy, this is not a great field for a night game. Wing T formation, Smith out left, Parr rolls
wide
right,
open.
Throws down the right side. He's got Mather at the 20. He's going to take it in. Touchdown, Warriors, just like that. Johnny Mather coming from the running back position, and he just leaked out, came across the 44. Formation behind the linebackers. Nobody picked him up. Parr with a nice fake to Hatch on the fake handoff, and then hit the ball well and then threw it downfield, and Mather caught that just inside the 20, took it the rest of the way. So what was that for a total play there, Ron?
44 yards. The key with that was that, unlike last year, he put it up and let John run underneath it.
He didn't try to throw it to John.
Exactly.
He just gave him the ability to adjust to the ball in flight, and there was nobody near him.
No.
That helps, too. That reminds me of Sam White catching a ball downfield last year.
Yeah, we had some of those where Tyler just muscled up and overpowered the receiver.
Extra point good for Duncan again, and the Warriors up 35-0 with 15 seconds to go here in the first quarter. Five touchdown first quarter. I think that's exactly what you draw up if you're the offensive coordinator. Defensively, Warriors have done a good job. They've given up a few medium-sized chunk plays, no big plays though. I think the longest play has been about 25 yards by Salem Academy so far. And as a result of that, they haven't put themselves in too bad a field position defensively. Had a couple of good fourth down stops. And as we see with 15 seconds to go here in the first, the Warriors turning in a dominating effort against the Crusaders. But this is what we've come to expect. If you don't have the athletes and the scheme both, you're going to have a really hard time dealing with the Warriors, because the Warriors this year have the athletes and they've got the scheme, and they're executing both sides of the ball very well.
There's no pressure at all on the quarterback. He has time to stand back there and wait for that receiver to clear from the one side of the field to the other side, and there was nobody close to the quarterback.
Federico, exchange student from Italy, going to be kicking off again here from the 40. He's ready to go. He drives this one high to about the 20-yard line, takes a bounce, and goes out of bounds. Can't do that. That ball will come out to the 40. And Salem Academy will take over at their own 40-yard line. So just about done with the first quarter here. His first kick was awesome. He's maybe trying a little hard now, but that's okay.
They're
first
high.
They are high.
They're way up there.
The leg is there. He's got the leg to boom the kicks. He'll figure this out. I think by the end of the season, we might have ourselves a guy putting it in the end zone every time for a touchback. Very possible.
We've had foreign exchange students kick before.
And some of them are really good.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Salem Academy. Excuse me, they start at their own 35. I thought they started at the 40. That's an NFL rule. I'll get that wrong. Starting at their own 35-yard line on the ball out of bounds on the kickoff. They throw out to the right side. That one's caught by Haller, and Streeter with a nice tackle at the 40. A 5-yard, they're going to give him six on it. Now over to the 41. Streeter closed out very well from the linebacker position there. But Hatch came under that. I don't know if Hatch is supposed to come under or stay outside on that. I'm not sure what the read is for him. But he came inside the blocker, and that let Haller get outside on him. That's the end of the first quarter. The score, Amity 35, Salem Academy 0. This is Amity Warrior Football on KLYC. We'll be right back.
Copycats in McMinnville is more than just a copy and print place. They're also the place to go for trophies and plaques. Copycats can fix you up with the perfect trophy to recognize just about any sport or activity for any age range. And they have a complete line of engraved plaques and awards that can be customized to recognize a special person or accomplishment. Copycats at 235 North Highway 99 in Mac, serving Amhill County for over 20 years. The only thing you need to know about printing and trophies is their phone number, 503-472-0119.
Welcome back to Amity Warrior Football. Jeff Clark and Ron Hubert here from Salem Academy High School, where the Warriors have a commanding 5-touchdown lead, 35-0. Salem Academy with the ball on a 2nd and 4 from their own 41-yard line. They go 4 wides this time, 2 on each side. Slot receivers are set back off the line of scrimmage. Wide receivers are up tight. One running back. Quarterback Hardy going to throw. Hit as he throws and intercepted by Hoff. No. Yes? No? I don't know. There's no signal from the officials. They're going to confer. I don't think it was caught.
Incomplete.
Well, I'm still looking. Now there's the motion. Finally, after all that time, they decided to give us an incomplete sign. You could tell by Hoff's reaction that it skipped.
Because
he knew he didn't have it.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the officials waited, conferred, and then neither one of them told us for sure. But they do spot it back at the 41-yard line, 3rd and 4 now. Harvey in the right spot. Almost had the pick. If that ball had been thrown about a foot higher, I think he would have had it. They go 3 wides right, 1 left now. Haller in the slot. That's the one to watch for. Salem Academy with a pitch. He's not going to have anywhere to go. There's a block in the back. No call there. And finally wrapped up. And, oh no, he bounces off a tackler and ends up getting the first down.
Wow.
Oh, boy. The Warriors had him dead to rights, and we didn't wrap up. And that's going to be enough for a first down. They get 5 yards on the play, and the ball spotted at the 46-yard line. The Warriors had that diagnosed. There was a little block in the back there on Mather that wasn't called. But ultimately, there were a couple of white jerseys that had their sights set on him and did not wrap him up. So the running back, Hasselbacher, with 5 yards for the first down. 1st and 10 from the 46. Hardy sprints left, throws, overthrows, intercepted by Hatch. And he's brought down immediately right back at the line of scrimmage. Brian Hatch and Wes Streeter mixing it up a little bit. Not happy with how somebody threw Hatch to the ground over there. Warriors might be a little sensitive about hard hits right now after losing Josh Wart last week to an illegal hit. The Warriors are going to take over, though, at the 46-yard line of Salem Academy. Brian Hatch with his 2nd interception of the night. It was a good tackle there by number 80.
That's who was thrown to.
Yeah, Titus Spangle. He was the intended receiver, and he recovered. What's that? Okay, I am corrected. It was the running back made the tackle, Hasselbacher.
Oh.
So I thought it was the wide receiver out there that made that tackle at the tight end. So the Warriors take over on the interception. That's their 2nd interception of the day. 3rd interception. Dyke had one earlier. 3rd interception now.
Yeah.
Warriors in their wing T formation. No, they're in their wing T, but they've got 2 wideouts. No tight end now. Peyton Richardson to our side. Warriors going right to left. Parr gets the go ahead from the official on the whistle, takes the snap, drops back, and shovel pass inside. And Hatch wrapped up and brought down for a loss. Number 77 on the tackle, and he's pretty fired up about that. Josh McMine, 6'3", 290-pound senior.
Minus.
And we've got a official's timeout on the field for an injury. We've got a Salem Academy kid down, and I'm not sure what's the problem. He's moved both legs, started to get up, went back down. Maybe got the wind knocked out of him is what I'm thinking. So not sure what happened on that play, but the Salem Academy are going to send their head coach out on the field to take a look at this. We're going to take a quick break. This is Amity Warrior Football on KLYC. We'll be right back.
Thank you. My car's like new. James W. Car Star will do the same for you.
At J&W Car Star, we say, come see the people who care. We really mean that. Our team is dedicated to customer satisfaction. Your satisfaction is as important as fixing the car.
J&W Car Star Collision Repair. Come see the people who care.
Welcome back, MD Warrior fans. Number 56, the injured player on the play, that is Tyler Elker, a 6'2 sophomore tackle and defensive end, shaken up on the play. Had a collision over there with Wes Streeter, I think, and Wes a pretty hard hitter. And Wes was blocking that end, trying to free up that play for Hatch. Hatch got wrapped up for a loss, though, of 3 on the play. So the ball now at the 49-yard line of Salem Academy. Warriors football, 2nd and 13. Wing T formation, 2 wide outs. Going to hand to Mather coming around the right side. Oh, nice block over there. Mather to the corner, across the first down marker to the 39-yard line. That was number 60.
That's Robbie Scharf.
Robbie Scharf just pancaking the defensive end. I think that's the guy who just replaced the injured player, right? he came into the game. Number 53 is Josh Hamilton, a senior, just came off the bench to replace Elker, who went out injured, and Robbie Scharf took him and planted him firmly on his backside, and Johnny Mather ran right by both of them. Mather with a big gain on the play. 1st and 10 Warriors. They get about 15 on that one. Hand off to Hatch. Nope, going to be to Mather. Right up the middle. Here comes Mather barreling ahead across the 20 down to the 17-yard line, 18-yard line, somewhere in there. Nice fake to Hatch.
34.
And Mather takes it up the middle and just blasts ahead down to the 17-yard line of Salem Academy. Johnny Mather looking the best we've seen him look this year, Ron. He's running with power, not getting wrapped up at that line of scrimmage. And this Salem Academy front four, I think, is pooped. I think they've seen enough of this offensive line. Warriors in their wing tee, 2 wide outs. Richardson left. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go to Richardson here. They haven't got a touchdown to him yet. Nope, it's going to be a toss to Hatch. Hatch to the corner, across the 15, to the 10, 5. Did he get to the end zone? Did he get the pylon? Yes, he did! Brian Hatch with the dive. He comes up a little gimpy, but he's going to walk that off, I think. He took a shot from a couple of green jerseys coming across there as he dove at about the 3-yard line, extended for the pylon, got it with the football. And Hatch has his 3rd touchdown.
Well, he's got
that correct? 2 rushing and 1 on the interception, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a light in here, any chance? We have no light in here. No, there's no light bulb, so there won't be any light. We have Mark Keene's light on the side of his earpiece there. That's the only light we have up here, so it's going to be hard to read. Warriors get the extra point kick blocked. And so with 9:38 to go, the Warriors have a 41-0 lead. 9:38 to go, 2nd quarter. The Warriors are up 41-0. Nice night for football here. We had a little rain on our way over. Ron was a little worried. Thought we might have to run over to Bi-Mart or something and pick up a tent. But we weren't sure where we were going to be when we got here. Luckily, they do have a booth for us. And Coach Keene, who's on the headset to Coach McGill, and Joel's brother is up here doing the videotaping for the team. And Derek's up here with us, and we're cramped into what can best be described as a small shed up on top of the bleachers. It's just some sheet metal with a lot of screws sticking through it. So be careful not to get impaled, gentlemen. All right. Warriors have done exactly what the Warriors wanted to do, Ron, coming into this game, and that is they've run the ball with Streeter, with Hatch, and with Mather. What they haven't done is throw the ball to Peyton Richardson successfully.
They tried once,
but...
He was well covered. There was someone right next to him not doing legally the right coverage, but...
Yeah, should have been a pass interference, and they didn't give him that. And now it's kind of at the point where, you know, do you throw when you're up 41-0? So Peyton may get shut out this game, which is unfortunate for Peyton, but...
It's still the second quarter. I mean, you used to kind of think that you could play your varsity studs and get after it the whole first quarter,
and run your whole first half. Run your normal offense.
Yeah, but...
So we'll see what they do. Maybe they'll try one more pass to Peyton. Frederico, this is a good kick. Hits it about the 20, bounces high, or the 30, bounces high, picked up at the 22. Holler with it. Weaving gets across the 40 to the 45, and then he's knocked out of bounds right about the 45-yard line. Well, you don't want the ball in his hands. I think you need to figure out where he is and not kick the ball at him.
Yeah. Well, they let it bounce.
Yep, and he came up and scooped that ball out of the air and took off, and he's a lightning bug out there. He is bouncing this way and that way, and just streaking on you.
Quicker than most of our players, except for Brian Hatch.
He's a lot like Hatch, maybe a little bit bigger than Brian.
Mm-hmm.
A little more solidly built, but he's pretty dynamic with the ball in his hands. And he's out here. He might not be as tall as Brian, though, but he's very quick, and he runs with an authority when he runs that you don't see in all players. Drop back. Hardy throws out the right side. He hits his receiver at the 50, wrapped up immediately by Smith and Peyton Richardson. They take him down. The receiver on that, number 85, is Patton, the tight end. And they got him to the ground immediately, gain of 5 on the play, 2nd and 5. And Peyton almost got there for the pick. He read it. He was closing in on it pretty quick. Quarterback is number 18, Cole Hardy, 6'5", junior. Doesn't have a bad arm. But, boy, they don't throw the ball downfield much. It is short stuff.
Well, he's not going to have time to do that.
That might be part of the reason. Yeah, 3 wides left, 1 right.
They're
going to pitch it out to Hasselbacker. Hasselbacker looking for somewhere to go. He is hit, bounces off. Nobody wrapped up. He's across the first down marker now and into Warrior territory down at the 42-yard line. There's a late flag. This might be against the quarterback because the official said something to him as he threw the flag, and it was really late. So after the play was over. So this is going to be a dead ball foul, unsportsmanlike conduct, I believe, on the quarterback. We'll see. I didn't see what happened. Nobody up here did either. So we'll see. I'm sure this is going to be an unsportsmanlike conduct on Salem Academy. There were no white jerseys anywhere near this. Dead ball, unsportsmanlike conduct against Amity. There were no white jerseys there.
Oh, two.
Two of them, okay. And the offsetting penalties then. That's the greatest call ever, right? And it was after the play, so the first down will stand. So I don't know what was said. Must have been some taunting back and forth, a little trash talk or something, all I can figure. I don't know who the white jersey that was close. Dylan Nyseth was back there near the quarterback. They must have exchanged some pleasantries back there, some offsetting unsportsmanlike conducts. Nyseth was running away when they threw the flag, but doesn't mean that he hadn't already said something. So this is actually the most the chippiest game we've had so far this year. St. Mary's wasn't chippy. Even the Akani wasn't really a chippy
game.
Except
for one player.
Well, but it wasn't chippy. It was violent.
Yeah, but that he had several, I guess.
But it was him.
Yeah.
This is chippy between a lot of different players. Now, I don't know what the history is here. I'll have to ask Derek here when we get a chance. All right, 1st and 10 for Salem Academy at the 42-yard line, 42 and a half or so of Amity. Hardy drops back, throws over the middle. Intercepted! Oh, he had it, and he couldn't hang on to it. Cody Dyke had that in the air, landed on his back, still had the ball, and then lost it after he was on the ground. He could not hang on to that. Cody Dyke with a great read, jumped in front of that pass, and just about had it. He needs some new gloves. Get that boy some sticky gloves. Or take them off, one of the two. He's got gloves on, but they're not doing what they need to do. It's not a wet night out here. So, boy, Cody almost had his second pick of the night. 2nd and 10 for the Crusaders. Warriors, their base defense here.
There was a
missed handoff there. Hardy scrambling, and that's going to be intentional grounding. You got to throw the flag on that, right?
He's not going.
There's no receiver in the area. There were two linemen. There it is. There the flag comes out.
Loss of down.
Yep, loss of down and a penalty on the play. Quarterback had no chance. It was either that or he was going to be sacked for about a 20-yard loss because he had nowhere to throw the ball. He wanted to hand that ball off to Hasselbacker. Hasselbacker wasn't there.
He ran the other way that the quarterback.
Well, the quarterback turned to his right. Hasselbacker went to the quarterback's left, as Ron was saying. And as a result of that, he was running for his life with three white jerseys chasing him. So they will penalize them back to the 41-yard line. That's a loss of...
So he threw the ball from
loss of 15 yards.
He threw the ball from the 46, where he attempted.
And they penalized
to throw,
it five yards
from there. Yeah.
So it ends up being a loss of, let me do some math here, 16, 17 yards. It looks like, Ron, and it'll be third and 27 now because they lose the down on that too. That was second down, and now the quarterback's coming out of the game because he got driven to the ground on that, and this turf just tore up his arm. And so he's got to come out. He's got quite a bit of blood on it. So now they bring in a backup quarterback on third and long. This is number 12, Brandon Reed, coming in, a six-foot sophomore. I'm guessing they're going to pin their ears back and come after this young man. Two wides left, one right. Hasselbacker in the backfield with Reed. Reed takes the snap. They're coming after him. He pitches to Hasselbacker. Nowhere to go. He cuts back up inside. Still going now. He's met by Cody Dyke and knocked to the ground back at the line of scrimmage. Cody Dyke came up and laid a shot on Hasselbacker. Hasselbacker's still down. They just met chest-to-chest on that tackle. And Dyke just ran right through him, basically. Hasselbacker might be, what do you think, 160 pounds, 150 pounds? And Dyke comes in there pushing. Dyke's got to be about 200 this year, Derek, somewhere in that neighborhood. He's solid. 190, 200 pounds, and Dyke came up, laid a hit on Hasselbacker. Hasselbacker back up, but it's fourth and a bomb here. They're going to be punting. They're going to take a timeout. 7:38 left to go, second quarter, 41-0 Warriors. We'll take a quick break. This is KLYC McMinnville and Warrior Football.
95 years in the banking business and going strong. First Federal was founded in 1922 as a secure, locally owned financial institution for Yamhill County residents. From the beginning, we've come alongside our neighbors, helping them to build savings and borrow money to purchase homes. This idea continues to guide our decision-making and strengthens our communities. First Federal offers a wide range of financial services, from checking and savings to IRAs, to a variety of loan products and mobile banking. We're located in McMinnville, Amity, Carlton, Newburgh, and Sheraton. When you bank with First Federal, your money stays here in Yamhill County. First Federal, we're here for you. Visit us online at www.firstfedweb.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back, Warrior fans, wherever you are tonight. Sorry about that. 7:38 left to go, second quarter. Warriors up 41-0.
If this game was closer, I'd be a little bit worried about the punter because he could run right by everybody, but they're certainly not going to fake.
No, they're not. Not at 4th and 27 or 25 or whatever it is. Something like that. There's the snap. There's the kick. It's a good kick. It's going to be fielded by Hatch at about the 20. Makes the first guy miss. He's coming to the right side. There's going to be a block in the back, so it's coming back. That's going to be on Michael Duncan, too. Hatch doesn't know it. He runs out the play, gets out to the 48-yard line, but that is coming back. Because Michael Duncan put a block in the back needlessly, too. It wasn't going to affect the play at all. And that's something that, you know, as this team gets looking forward towards the state playoffs, hopefully, later in the year, those are the kind of mistakes that can kill you because that's a field position one there. Hatch, instead of being at the 48-yard line, they're going to move that ball back from the 30 where the penalty happened. And I think a block in the back, they're going to call it a hold, but it was really a block in the back. That's the wrong signal. That's 10 yards. Puts the ball back at the 20-yard line. You just lost 28 yards of field position because of undisciplined play, and that's just the kind of thing that as this team goes forward, they've got to make sure they don't have those kind of mistakes, and it happens at every level. You watch the NFL, it seems like every punt there's a block in the back and a push, a hold, something. Drives you nuts watching it. All right, Warriors break the huddle. So they're starting from their own 20. Going to have a long drive ahead of them here. 7:21 left to go, second quarter. Wing T formation, two wide receivers. Going to hand to Mather going around the right side. Mather with some room. Gets across the 25, the 30. Still plowing ahead to the 35-yard line. 15-yard gain for Johnny Mather. And a first down, Amity. Nice job by Johnny. He's looked good coming around that corner and up the middle all night tonight. Clock stops on the move of the chains. Now it starts again after they get the chains set. We come up on the 7-minute mark. 41-0. Warriors get this touchdown and don't allow one back, then when we come out in the third quarter, we'll have a running clock and a pretty short second half. Warriors wing T again. Richardson out left. May go to him this time. Mather in motion.
Streeter.
Right up the middle. Wes Streeter. Breaking tackle. Spinning across the 50. Still going. 45. Stumbles.
Oh.
Covers up that ball well as he gets hit. He's down to the 42-yard line of Salem Academy. Was that about a 20-yarder run?
No, 28.
28-yard run on the play by Wes Streeter. And the Warriors in two plays picked up 43 yards. More than that, it was they started at the 20. It was 37 yards. Oh, yeah. Sorry, 37 yards so far. We'll get our math right, folks. Sorry. We don't have anybody doing that for us. We got to figure it out ourselves. Wing T formation again. The hand is Streeter. Sure. No. This is Valencia coming around the left side across the 40. He gets hit and stacked up at about the 33-yard line. Nice job by Seth. Good run there as he subs into the game for Brian Hatch. And again, you'll hear me say Streeter with the ball or Mather with the ball, and then I'm wrong and I have to correct it. That's because Tyler Parr does as good a job as anybody in the state at hiding the ball after he fakes a handoff. And the running backs do a great job of selling the fake.
That's the offense.
I was watching tape earlier today on a play where we faked a handoff to Streeter. He got hit by two guys, and they kept pushing him to the ground. They thought he had the ball. He drew two defenders on the play. Parr drops back. We're going to have a false start. We had two guys leaning forward on that play. That was going to go to Richardson.
The snap was just a little bit late.
We had Peyton Richardson in single coverage out here on the left side. And that's going to be a false start. Both running backs were starting to fall forward before that ball was snapped.
Yeah, the snap was just not on time. If you hearken back to the flood years when they had this kind of ability, you could not figure out who had the ball.
And that's the way it's supposed to run, right?
Yes.
It makes the defense stay in their gaps. They can't gamble because they don't know where the ball is going. They can't read anything. Everything looks the same every time. Even the pass plays, you've got two fakes sometimes on a run and then the pass.
That's exactly.
And everybody, linebackers have to stay home. It allows receivers to get single coverage. Here we go. Jackson right, Richardson left. To bring Parr hands to Mather. Mather hit, wrapped up, but he plows ahead and pulls the defensive tackle with him. Picks up about 5 yards. It's going to be third and one. I still think they're going to go. This is a great opportunity on third and one to throw the ball to Richardson here. We haven't seen it since the first quarter. So Derek Barnett up here shaking his head saying that's not the play call we're going to see, but that's what we were going to see right before on that false start, Derek. That was going to be a pass play. I'm telling you. Right, we'll see who's right here. I formation, Valencia on the right side in that wing. Richardson split out left. Valencia in motion. Parr.
Valencia.
Hands to Valencia. Valencia gets the first down out to the 26-yard line, 27-yard line. First down, Warriors. Seth with some good hard running. Talking to the official after the play. He's not happy about some extracurricular in there. Still talking to his teammates, and the official says, hey, calm down. But Seth not happy about something that's going on in there. Might be some cheap shots, maybe some face mask. I don't know.
When the score gets out of control, it's just you got this testosterone on both sides of the line, and
yep.
People don't like to get beat that bad.
Wing T formation. Richardson spread out left. Here comes the throw. They're going to go to Jackson down the seam. He's got it. Touchdown. No, he couldn't hang on to it. Eli Jackson had it in his hands at the one, fell into the end zone, and could not hang on to the ball. And he's still down in there. Richardson hands the ball to the official. And Joel jogging out on the field. Come out and check. The athletic trainer headed out there. I'll bet he landed on that ball. So
landed on the ball. Or
nice. Perfect throw. Perfect throw by Tyler Parr. This could be a sore ego, too. I don't want to make light of an injury, but this is that was a painful drop for Eli. I know he wanted that touchdown catch more than anything.
Had it in his hands. There was a good hit. The defensive back hit him. Good solid.
He's moving like he got the wind knocked out of him.
Between the hit and the ground,
yep.
The ball came loose.
Ball came loose, and Eli just laid there. But my guess is a combination of the wind getting knocked out of him and being pretty frustrated about not being able to hang on to that ball. That was as good a throw as I've seen Tyler Parr make on a seam route like that. And Eli ran a good route, had the catch, just couldn't hang on to it on contact. He's up. He's going to walk off the field under his own power. A little shaken up. But a great job by Eli to be in the right place. Just about pulled that in. Nursing that right side
a
little bit.
He's looked like his hand. He 3 weeks ago in practice, had a pretty bad sprain on his right, one of the fingers on his right hand. And he seems to be
nursing the right side. I don't know if it's his hand or his hip or his side that he's nursing there, but that'll bring up second and 10 for the Warriors as they trot back out on the field. 4:03 left to go here in the first half. And don't get me wrong, I'm not I wasn't accusing Eli of faking anything, but it hurts a lot worse when you drop the ball. If you make the touchdown catch and there's pain, you kind of hop up and you deal with the pain a little differently, but boy, when you're feeling it a lot more when you don't get it. Valencia in motion. They hand to Mather, second guy back. Through, dragging a couple guys, my. Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Warriors! Johnny Mather broke about six tackles on that run.
They ran by two guys that did not know he had the ball.
And that's a tribute to the fake to Valencia.
Yes.
And the fact that Streeter was still somebody you have to account for, too. Because sometimes it's a fake to one, a fake to another, and then a handoff.
Yeah.
And so... Derek just told me that Eli's been nursing a pretty sore hand, as Ron said, fingers on that hand, and that fall to the ground may have not felt so hot. Warriors go up 47-0. We'll have a running clock at the start of the third quarter, I believe. They don't do it until the second half. Duncan to attempt the point after here. High snap, gets it down, kick is blocked.
Yeah.
That was not a good snap that time. And that's something the Warriors still working on. They had three good snaps in a row. Now they've had two bad snaps in a row that have led to blocks. So something to continue to work on. It's not easy to snap the ball to the holder's hands perfectly every time. And we're talking about high school kids, not professional snappers here. 47-0, 3:52 left to go here in the first half. Warriors leading the Crusaders. And Warriors came into this ranked second in the state. Early season rankings mean absolutely nothing, of course, because Cascade Christian was ranked about 24th or something, and we're pretty sure Cascade Christian's a really good team, like maybe the best team in 3A this year. So these early season rankings don't mean anything, but you'd rather start out high than low because you don't have to work your way up quite so far. And we know that the Warriors are going to have their work cut out for them. They're going to play some high-ranked teams in Klatskanai and Rainier coming up here before too long. But nice to take care of business in a commanding way. This will allow the JV to play a lot in the second half. We'll have a running clock. And the quarterback from Salem Academy, he is on the sideline with the trainer looking at his left ankle. So maybe rolled it. He also they had to cover up some blood on his left arm when he was driven to the ground on that intentional grounding call. And now they're going to put some ice, it looks like. I don't even think they're going to wrap him. They're just going to put some ice on the ankle, I think.
Wait, that's not him, is it?
That's the quarterback right there, 18.
Oh, who's over there? Isn't that 18 over there?
That's 18 over there. So I don't know what number this is. And it looks like 18. I'll have to check that number. There's the kick. It's returned across the 40 and out of bounds at the 41-yard line. Returned by number 25. That is Hunter Schwenke. Like 6 foot junior. So I don't know what number that is. Is it
Eli?
40? Eli 48.
Eli Jackson ran the ball carrier out, so I think he's okay.
He's back, but you know, after that, he's still nursing that hand a little bit. Wrist out there a little bit. But yeah, it looks like the guy on the sideline maybe 48.
I think it's 48.
That's Solinger. Thought it was the quarterback at first. That's what Derek thought also as we looked down there. But then Ron pointed out quarterback's on the sideline. So he was standing up. Quarterback's back in the game. Three wideouts, two left, one right. Hasselbacker in the backfield there. Hardy hands to Hasselbacker right up the middle. Wrapped up and brought down by Russell Brown.
Nice play.
Solo tackle there by the defensive end. That's right back at the line of scrimmage. We've got a flag comes in late. And I think this is against the Warriors. Unsportsmanlike conduct, and I think it's going to be on Russell Brown after the...
Talking.
Yep.
Just too much talking.
And the Warriors just need to shut their mouth and play football here because, you know, when you've got a 47-0 lead, just play the game.
Just play the game.
And Brown going to get out. He's going to get a talking to because that's the second unsportsmanlike conduct on the Warriors. So Actually, nobody's going to talk to him. He's just going to get pulled out of the game and stuck on the sideline for a while, I think. Joel will catch up with him later on this, I'm sure. Again, these are the kind of penalties that you just can't have when the game really matters. You got to be able to control yourself no matter what else is going on out there. So with a 15-yard penalty, they have a first down at the 43-yard line of Amity. So the defense is going to get tested here a little bit. Hardy throws right, high, off the hands of his intended receiver and out of bounds. It was intended for Titus Spangle, the 6-foot senior. Second and 10 for the Crusaders. Warriors with most of their starting defense out there. So with Brown out, Mather moves up into the defensive end slot, or is it going to be Strader?
Eight. Hoff moved over. 81 came into Hoff's place, who's 81 for us.
That's Trevor Smith, but I'm looking at that front line. So yeah. Streeter's moved into a defensive end position here, or defensive tackle. They're running with two tackles and four linebackers basically here. There's a quick throw by Hardy in the middle, off his hands and incomplete. Richardson had almost had a play on the ball, not quite. 3:21 left to go first half.
62 is actually who came in for.
That's Philip West. He's been in. He's been playing defensive end.
Well.
And so they just shifted around. They brought Trevor Smith in and then shifted some people around to some different positions, I think.
Streeter's been down here.
So they brought Hoff in Streeter's position, moved Streeter up onto the line to take Russell Brown's position. That's what they did. Took us a second to figure it out. Now we're back in our three-down lineman, 3-3 here with the three linebackers. Hardy in the pistol, third and 10. Pitch to Hasselbacker.
No,
he's turned back up inside.
That's
Holler. Yep, and now he's breaking it across, still going. Going to be close to a first down before he's stacked up. Nice driven down there by Peyton Richardson with a good tackle to finish off that play. Stops him short of the first down. But yes, he runs different than Hasselbacker, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Boy, he's lightning in a bottle out there. That's a pretty dynamic open field runner. Not a big target to hit either. It's going to be 8 yards on the run. It's going to be fourth and two. Boy, you get him, you get Holler in space, you're in trouble.
He made about three people miss over there. They had good shots at him.
He's been doing that all game long. It's just they've had a hard time getting him the ball where he needs it. They've got Holler split out. No, they've got him in the backfield now, and Hasselbacker split out left. There's a snap. There's a false start. Yeah, I was going to say these wide receivers went before that ball was snapped, and there's the call on that. 2:28 left to go, second quarter, 47-0 Warriors. They had two wide receivers start, and so if they both started, you got to think they heard the snap count, and the snap didn't go. Or they were on the wrong snap count. So they're going to back that up five. So what was fourth and two will be fourth and seven now for the Crusaders. That's a slight bit different play call, probably. But you got to figure they're trying to get the ball in the hands of Holler and nobody else at this point.
Yep.
He is just simply their playmaker and their only real playmaker on the field. They've got him in the backfield now. Right next to
Hasselbacker's not even in the ballgame. He's got his helmet off from that hit.
There's a Hardy, throws over the middle, and it's incomplete. Intended for number 25, and that'll be a Warriors ball. Turnover on downs with 2:14 to go in the first half.
I wanted to say it, but he had alligator arms.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You saw him.
He was going to get hit, and his arms immediately went back.
Yep, there were no white jerseys right next to him, but they were within a couple of yards, and they were coming quick. And he felt that. He didn't want to be extended. That pass extended him a little bit. And what Ron said, alligator arms, which is where you pull them back a lot quicker than you should, and you don't catch the ball because you're afraid of being exposed to the hit. It happens at every level of football. Wing T formation, two wides, one each side. Going to hand right up the middle. This is Russell Brown?
Yes.
Russell Brown plowing ahead, still going across the 45 down to the 40-yard line. Russell Brown with his first carry.
I'd give him 20 yards.
Yeah, I'm going to say at least that.
21.
Ball spotted at the 40. 21, I think, right at the 40-yard line. So Russell Brown got pulled out for his unsportsmanlike chatter out there, and he's back in carrying the mail here.
We got a new quarterback and all running backs.
Eli Jackson under center. This time hands again to Brown right up the middle. This time they stack him up at the line of scrimmage. They weren't caught by surprise this time. So it's not Jackson under center.
Eli Jackson's the quarterback.
Okay, he was way out here
number
when that play
seven.
Ended. I thought that he had run out. So
number seven, they got Cody Dyke,
Russell Brown.
I don't know who the other running back is. We'll have to look and see when they break here. Starting the regular line is still in there.
Yes. Is that Valencia?
Valencia over the side. Peyton Richardson in here on the left, still split out. Jackson brings Valencia in motion, fakes a handoff. He's going to keep it. He returns it upfield, still going across the 35, and we've got a flag back in the backfield.
That's going to be holding.
Or a block in the back or something by Peyton Richardson. Peyton looked right at the official. It's going to be a holding call, as Ron said. Peyton shrugging his shoulders like, I don't know what I did wrong. But the official threw that flag pretty quick there, and that's going to back it up to about midfield because the hold was right at the 40-yard line. So instead of being third and short, it's going to be second and about 20 yards to go, Ron. So we'll see what the second-string offense has in store here. Can Eli throw to Peyton? That's the question. See if we can answer that.
I highly doubt that Mr. McBeal will pass the ball. I just don't think so.
Jackson under center. Richardson split out wide left. Dyke in motion.
Counter.
It's the give to Valencia. He breaks across the 50, the 45, the 40, 35, still going. He's going to get the first down. 23 yards on the run by Seth Valencia down to the 27-yard line. You don't need to pass when you got Valencia.
Nope.
My goodness, he looks good. Seth Valencia taking the counter handoff.
Well, let's give credit where credit's due. The line, there was an outstanding hole when he cut back. That's Jordan Dyke and Robbie Sharp.
This line's been dominant all night long here, Ron. Jackson under center, gives it to Brown. Brown right up the middle, plowing ahead, running with some good power there down to the 20. He runs a little different than Streeter.
Yeah.
Out of that three back. Trevor Smith bringing the play in from the sideline. Second and two for the Warriors. Ball at the 20-yard line.
Last play.
22 seconds. See if they can get this in the end zone. Jackson.
Counter.
Got a handoff to Cody. Dyke. Dyke makes one guy miss. Stiff arms another guy at the 20. Down to the 15. He's out of bounds.
Yeah.
With 11 seconds to go, he gets the first down. He's out of bounds at about the 16. 15, 14? See where they mark this. I can't tell. It's on the far side of the field. Be right about the 15. 16-yard line. So, first and 10, 11 seconds to go.
This will be the last play.
Should be, barring a penalty or somebody getting out of bounds pretty quick. 47-0 Warriors. Likely will be the score at halftime. Jackson under center. Brings Dyke in motion. Hands off to Valencia. Valencia up the middle to the 10, down to the right about the 10, and that will, not ball game,
I mean
but
quarter.
That'll be the half.
Sorry.
As Valencia takes it for about 6 yards. And that's the end of the first half of football here from Salem Academy, where the Warriors lead the Crusaders 47-0. We're going to take a break for a few minutes. Maybe we'll get you some statistical totals. If Ron can see, we are in the dark up here. Just have a little bit of light flooding over from the field into our booth. So we'll take a break for a couple minutes and come back with some updates for you. This is Warrior Football on KLYC McMinnville. Welcome back, Amity Warrior fans. Halftime here at Salem Academy, where the Warriors lead the Crusaders 47-0. Ron, you had a chance to tally up some totals. How do we look tonight?
Well, the Warriors have rushed for 284 yards. Salem Academy has rushed for 5. They've had 3 rushes. Salem Academy had an 18-yard gain and an 8-yard gain, but they have a minus 21 on a sack. So that makes it the 5. And Salem Academy 6 for 18, passing for 52 yards. And Amity is 1 for 2 for 14 yards and 1 touchdown. Amity rushing, Hatch has 71 yards, Wes Streeter has 72, Jonathan Mather has 69, Seth Valencia has 45, Russell Brown has 21, and Cody Dyke has 6 for 284 yards.
Pretty good balance there. Mm-hmm. And, the passing numbers are down, but in part, they're down because we haven't needed to throw it all. I mean, they haven't committed extra guys to stop in the run.
No.
And so what do we have? Do we have 2 pass attempts in the game?
2.
One to Eli, 1 to Peyton.
Well, one to Four attempts.
Right.
There's two misses, so we, yeah.
Mather has two catches. Is that right?
Mather's got one.
One?
For 17, and Hatch has minus three.
Yeah.
But then he threw to Eli, who dropped it, and he threw to
Richardson, who was interfered with, and there was no call in the end zone. Right.
So two for four of passing.
So, but we will say, I think that all four passes were good passes by Tyler Parr.
They were
right where they were supposed to be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The one to Eli was as good a pass as I've seen Tyler make. That was a nice seam route. I think it was about a 25-yard pass in the air, hit Eli right where Eli could catch it. He just couldn't.
It was in his hands.
Yep. He just couldn't hang on to it as he hit the ground. He popped out, and he's been nursing a sore left wrist, hand, and just couldn't hang on to that. The one to Peyton was exactly what he throws to Peyton. He threw it so that kind of a comeback a little bit where Peyton goes up and gets the ball, and the kid, you know, face guarded him, bumped into him while the ball was in the air, and there was no call. So
it actually hit the Salem Academy defender in the helmet.
And so, and then the pass to Johnny was an interesting one. Johnny, I think there might have been a fake handoff in there. Johnny leaked out to the left side, faked another handoff or two back there, and then he just turned and dumped it over the line.
Well, John went
to clear
to the left,
yep,
and then ran clear across the formation off, you know, to the right, and wide open, 20 yards between him and any defender.
Yeah, they just lost him coming out of the backfield after there was a fake to him and he didn't get the ball. They lost him.
Mm-hmm.
He leaked out on that left side and then kept running behind the linebackers there. There was nobody near him. And so that worked out really well for the Warriors. Good play call there.
Well, like I told you, anybody that can harken back to the Amity teams 10 or 15 years ago, this looks like the Amity offense that we grew accustomed to. The last couple of years, we just haven't had the line or we haven't had the backs.
Or the right combination
to do the kind of ball handling that happens that just fools everybody, including, you know, announcers up in the booth.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm constantly calling the wrong name because I think somebody's got the ball. You know, basically, I'm calling out fakes. Mather, no. Streeter, no. Valencia, yes. Or Hatch, you know.
And so when you handle the ball that well in the backfield, you're going to get wide open receivers like we did with Mather running across there.
Yeah.
And a couple of those runs, like Mather, that last one run of Mather, the linebacker and DB did not even know he had the ball, and he ran right by him.
Yeah, they're looking at somebody else who the ball was faked to.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to react to that. And I think, you know, you hit on it kind of subtly there, but it takes time to develop the timing, the fluidity, and for the kids to learn how to really play at that level. Because
sure,
they can get success, but they don't get elite until you really understand how to put it all together.
And you really think about it, this is Tyler Parr's second year. He's a senior, but he was behind Hatch his sophomore year. Didn't play very much.
Last year was his first year as a senior,
or
as a starter, and he did a good job. But now he's a master of that offense.
Yeah, and Wes Streeter really ran the ball well last year, but we didn't have Hatch. You know, Hatch was out of it for half
some
the
games,
season
yep.
with some hurt. And Jonathan Mather.
Well, he was rotating with Wes because we had Sam and we had
Nelson.
Jason Nelson back there. They were given touches too also at that two-back position. So, you know, now we're seeing these guys who got quite a bit of experience last year. Now we're seeing all three of them in the game as seniors, and they're ready for this.
And then you have to look at that line because Robbie Scharf and Jordan Dyke played a lot of ball last year. Robbie Scharf played every ball game. Bernard's played probably half the season at that left tackle. And then Nick McMullen is really
come on.
I'm wondering where Coleman is because Coleman played last year, and I haven't seen 55 in the ballgame at all.
And that's I don't know if somebody's hurt or what, but this is a deep line.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, you've got competition.
Yeah.
You know, and the luxury – that Joel has that most of the teams we're playing don't have, is that he doesn't have to play his offensive line on defense.
No, they don't play. You don't see those big horses getting around.
Now think about the advantage in a small school. You don't see that very often. Usually if you're a good lineman, you're going to play both sides of the ball most of the game, and you're going to be spent by the end of the game.
Yeah, as so we're result, not seeing Vito
no.
or Jordan Sharp. Dyke. Jordan Dyke will play defense some, but Sharp's not playing
no.
defense.
And
Nick McMullen's not playing no. defense. Bernard's not playing defense.
So these guys are fresh. They come out of that game. They get to take a break for a couple sets of downs, mm-hmm. and they get to come back in and hammer sometimes on the same guys who were just on offense for the other team.
Well, they're not. Yeah, they're not getting beat on or pushed around no. on defense.
They get their water. They get to stretch out a little bit, talk to their coaches. Mm-hmm. They get to go over there and say, hey, what worked, what didn't, what's going on with this guy? You know, it's this is not a luxury that a lot of small schools have.
Well, the three teams that we've played, there's very little substitution.
Yep.
There's 11 guys on offense, and you're going to see maybe one or two guys yeah. run in yeah. off the sideline to go in and play defense.
You know, and one of the reasons that we can do this is because – you know, Trombley on defense wants smaller, quicker defensive linemen. So it's Philip West, it's Seth Valencia, it's Russell Brown playing the down linemen on the defensive side. These are, you know, Valencia and Brown are running backs on offense. They turn around and they as backup running backs on offense. They turn around and they play down linemen mm-hmm. on defense at tackle or end or nose guard or end. And then your linebackers are the other skill position guys who are flying all over the place because we got skill position guys that aren't afraid of contact. They're
another
not afraid
thing,
to hit.
Another thing I noticed in this game is that, you know, Tyler Parr's played a lot of defense, but he's not even – I haven't seen him take a snap on defense. And usually, you know, he's
– and that's a luxury too, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah,
and
you got your stud quarterback usually – is one of your best defensive
and he
guys.
Is. He's an outstanding linebacker.
Well, we haven't
and they
played
haven't
him.
Had to use him.
No.
And that's, again, that prevents injuries. It allows him to rest a little bit and allows somebody else to get experience.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Yeah. So you got Cody Dyke back there. You've got Richardson, who's playing out wide.
Mather.
And you've got Mather.
Linebacker. And Streeter at a linebacker position. Russell Brown was playing down line. I'm trying to think who else we had a linebacker in there. But, yeah, it's a versatile team. But being able to rest those offensive linemen, I think, is one of the great keys to their offensive success. All right, we got about 35 seconds to go before. I think they're going to put three minutes back on the clock.
Well, they will put 3 minutes. And the locker room is
about a half a mile away.
It's about two blocks away from the field. So by the time they got all the way in there.
Go to the bathroom, grab a drink. Your coach says two sentences, and you got to start the trek back.
I'm not sure. McGill had to say too much at halftime, but
well, he might have said something about the chatter.
There's a reason for Coleman because he's not even dressed down.
Yeah,
he's got his jersey on, but he does not have his pads. So
and,
something's going on with.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening there.
We'll find out. We can ask. We can ask Keene.
He's not up here. Keene's down there on the field, walking on with Coleman, Ron. So we
right.
should get 3 minutes put back on there. They're going to do that right now. So we're going to take a break. Good job, Ron, on the stats there in the first half. And we'll be back after these messages with the start of the second half. This is Amity Warrior Football on KLYC McMinnville. Welcome back, Amity Warrior fans. Jeff Clark and Ron Huber coming to you from Salem Academy this Friday night. Beautiful night down here. I started to say that in the first half, and we got distracted with, you know, football. But beautiful night. It was raining on the way over. As we came over Yellow Hills, Ron's like, oh, no, it's raining. It's raining. I'm like, Ron, we're going to be fine. We're going to go south of this. We're going to be okay.
We did have the windshield wipers on for
we had them on for a couple
miles.
Of miles. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but we got over here. It's been a beautiful night. Perfect night for football. It's cool. A little bit of a soft breeze. And, you know, the temperature is excellent and no rain. So that's nice. Even though it's a turf field, we always like to play with a dry ball. All right, Warriors will be kicking off here to start the third quarter.
Keep it away from five.
That's about all you have to do, really. And he's back deep, and looking to see. Got to get my glasses back on. Ron, I took my glass off. Couldn't figure out why. I couldn't tell who's out there.
Michael Duncan's going to be kicking off.
He's going to kick off. All right, so Frederico had four kickoffs, I think, there.
They were? They
his
were?
First game, and the first one was awesome.
Yeah,
he'll learn from that. He may be the deep kicker before this is all over once he gets past the newness. We're going to see some Hatch boys running the ball here in this half, and I'm excited about Wyatt and George Hatch running the ball. They are pretty dynamic young
That's
runners.
A
it's a good kick down to about the 18, fielded there.
Box hold.
All the way up the right side, Hasselbacher, and he runs out of bounds at about the 40-yard line. That's where Salem Academy will get started offensively here in the third quarter. Clock should be running and is... 12-minute quarters, running clock when you're up by more than 45 after halftime. It's 47-0.
So this is a yard line mark. You're famous.
Yeah. He ran out close to there. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. First and 10 from the 40 for Salem Academy. And I got to get my sheets back in my hand here, but not that I can read them very well in this light. But Holler out here wide to the left, or in the slot to the left. They throw to number 80. He's wrapped up and brought down at the 45. Gain of 5, tackled by Niseth. Little help from Dyke, Cody Dyke on that. That was Spangle with the reception. Second and 5 for the Crusaders. Warriors defensively looks like kind of a mix of some starters and some backup guys in there, playing some different positions. We'll try to get you updated. Mainly starters right now still on defense. There's a handoff to Hasselbacher, and he gets 4 yards. Nice tackle there by Wes Streeter, playing the left linebacker position. So on the down line for the Warriors, it looks like we're going to have Niseth on the right defensive end. We've got Philip West at the right defensive end. Valencia at the nose tackle, and Streeter at the left defensive end, with Brown at the middle linebacker, Mather left, and Niseth right linebacker. And they want to come on this one. They almost jumped off sides there. There's throw out to the right side by Hardy, and it is complete. Nice catch. It was a little behind 85. That's Patton, the 6'6 tight end, but he brings it in and is dropped there by Trevor Smith. First down, 6-yard gain on the play. Puts the ball at the 44-yard line of Amity. Not a bad pass by Hardy. A little behind him, but a better catch by Patton to pull that one in. Third quarter action here from Salem Academy, where the Warriors have a 47-point lead and a running clock here. A little confusion on the formation. Finally, they get it set. One wide right. Two close slot guys. Fake to the running back. Throw the little dump pass into the slot and incomplete. Second and 10 coming up for the Crusaders. That was not a good pass by Hardy. Hardy is not a great passer. He's a little inconsistent. He's thrown a couple of good passes, but he's thrown a lot of passes low tonight.
Junior, always under pressure. We've got, yeah. I mean, he knows he has to get rid of the ball fast. So it's a 1-2 look.
So the bouncing guys around here, West and Streeter change sides here. So Streeter on the right side now.
Even though he's 5 yards deep, he's still under pressure.
Oh, they're coming quick. Here they come again, right up the middle. Throws over the middle, and that is complete. Boy, that was a nice catch in the middle of three white jerseys, pulled down by who else but Jacob Holler. He's a legitimate first-team type of player in our league. He is really the only weapon they have on this team. And if you were to put him on a team with a better offensive line,
yeah,
and some other weapons around him that teams had to respect, he'd be pretty tough to stop. He's here on the left slot close to us as Salem Academy moves right to left in front of us. There's the snap, handoff inside to Hasselbacher. Wow. Dropped down by Wes Streeter with a tackle in the backfield, a loss of one on the play. It's going to be fourth now and 3 yards to go. Nice play, Wes Streeter, from that defensive end position. So your defensive line, Philip West is not a big guy. He might weigh 175. Streeter weighs about 180. Valencia probably 140, maybe 145. That's your defensive line, but they're all quick. There's the shotgun. Throw into the slot. Complete to number 80. He's wrapped up, brought down by Wes Streeter downfield, but that's enough for a first down at the 25. That shows you how quick Streeter is, though. Wes Streeter rushed the quarterback, saw the pass, turned around, shot back downfield, and was able to make that tackle at the 25-yard line before anybody else could get to him. Streeter playing with a different gear this year, folks. 7 minutes and counting to go in the third. Hardy, 5 yards deep, takes the snap. He's under pressure, throws deep down
wide
the left
open
side. He's got his man, and Michael Duncan comes over and interferes with the vision of Holler, breaks up the pass. A great play by Michael Duncan coming over from a safety position.
Covered a lot of ground. Just in time. The ball was, he was playing safety. Wasn't his man. They're playing his own.
But made the got over there, and I don't think he touched the ball, but he got there just as the ball got there and interfered. His hand came across.
I think he tipped it. It changed the direction of the ball.
It may have.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to look at replay, Ron. Where's our replay? We got a cameraman up here. We don't have any replays. Three wides right.
Going to pitch it.
Going to pitch. Yep. Hasselbacker.
Good block.
And he's got a outside to the 20, down to the 15. He's going to have a first down. That ball's loose. Ball's still loose.
Amity.
Streeter says, we've got it. And we do have it. I don't know who came up with it. See who came out of the pile with that? I don't know. But Wes Streeter knew we had it. So Hasselbacker had the first down inside the 15-yard line and coughed it up. The ball was loose for about 3 seconds, 2 seconds there, and the Warriors recovered it. Did either one of you see who came up with the ball on that?
No.
Nope, couldn't tell. Whoever it was flipped it to the official right away while there was still a crowd of players around him. We couldn't see who that was. So some subs coming into the game here for the Warriors. We'll try to get you updated. It looks like most of the offensive line's still in there.
I think it's
Peyton Richardson split out to the right here. Valencia in the backfield. Who is 42? I don't know that number off the top of my head. I'll get it for you. Sergio Alba in there at a tight end position. And we'll have a dead ball foul against the Warriors. Too many guys on the field, I think. I think they got 12 on the field. Somebody came in who wasn't supposed to come in.
Michael Duncan's walking off.
But yeah, I don't know if that was him or not, but there was a little confusion. Somebody was coming in late.
So we got Valencia, Russell Brown, and Cody Dyke.
In the backfield?
Yeah, with Eli Jackson, and the quarterback.
Alba playing the tight end position.
Yeah.
And now Eli, or no, I thought Peyton was coming out and Eli was coming in. Peyton's going to stay in there. He was just running over to Joel to get what the play is. Now he brings it into the huddle. So 5-yard penalty, Warriors first and 15 from their own 10-yard line. Richardson going to be split out to the left. Jackson under center, wing T formation, all but the tight end on the right side. Valencia in motion. They give to the up back. Russell That's Brown. Russell Brown plows ahead for about 9 yards, and it'll bring up second down and 6. Good hard run by Russell there. This, like we're talking about, this is vital experience for Russell Brown. If he's going to be that 3-back next year, he needs to get reps now. And, you know, Wes is a senior. He's going to be out of here. Johnny's a senior. Those are your two guys who have played that position in varsity games the last 2 years. So now Russell Brown getting a chance to take snaps against a first-team defense on the other side. Behind the first-team offensive line, this is excellent experience for Russell. Jackson under center brings a man in motion. That's Dyke. That's the counter to Valencia. He's got some room to run across the 30, 35, 40. No, he's not. He's going to get drugged down across the 50, under the 40. Still going. Nice hustle down there. He's drugged down inside the 30-yard line. What a run by Seth Valencia. Who was running with him
Michael
there?
Duncan.
Michael Duncan down there, and he blocks somebody at about the 40 and let Valencia continue to run. Wes Streeter smacking Duncan upside the head. Duncan spent, though. Boy, he's tired after that run.
Valencia.
What a great hustle play by Michael Duncan to run with Seth Valencia. We saw some wheels on Duncan there.
He's a good runner.
He was flying. And what a great hustle play.
52 yards.
He was wide receiver on that. What a great hustle play to get down there and help out and get Seth an extra 10 yards or so.
Well, it flipped the field.
They're going to go to fake here to Seth. There's a rollout.
Nobody's there.
Throws. Hit Alba at the 24, and he's down at the 20. Nice throw by Eli. I didn't think he had anybody open. Alba came open on that drag route from the tight end position, and a nice dump by Eli. Alba had to go up high for it. He's only about 5'6". Went up, brought it down, and picked up 7 yards on the play, second and 3 for the Warriors. We don't get a lot of help from the scoreboard here on down and distance. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
None.
There's no numbers up there.
We have to look across.
Well, it just says third quarter of the score and the time.
It's 47-0.
They haven't been doing it all game, I don't think. All right. Warriors in the I formation now. That's Dyke as the setback behind Brown. Valencia flanked to the right. He comes in motion. They go to Valencia. Nope, they go to Dyke right up the middle. Plows ahead. It'll be close to a first down. Maybe. We'll see. Depends on the spot of the ball on this one. I think it's going to be third and very short. Third and a half a yard to go here. Third and about 6 inches to go after they spot that box over on the far side. Warriors going left to right here in the third quarter. Minute 54 and counting to go, Ron. And the second team looks pretty good.
Well, it's still the first line. And the line
it is.
The line makes things happen.
But this is that's what your skill position players need. They need time to be able to make that happen. It's like preseason football in the NFL. If you get that second string line, things don't always go well. Jackson rolls out to the left. He's under pressure. He can't get turned to throw, and he's going to be out of bounds.
Oh, he shouldn't have done that.
Well,
throw the flag.
Boy, I don't know if he was out of bounds before he did, but he should not have tried to get rid of that ball. He should have just taken the sack. Instead, it's going to be a loss of down. It's going to bring up fourth and about 20 here, Ron.
They're
going to hit him for illegal grounding.
5 yards from right.
Is it five?
5 yards right.
Okay, so it's going to be fourth and 15 then. So we'll see what Joel has in the playbook for fourth and 15 with the second string skill position guys. Eli rolling left had a guy, but he could not figure out how to make the pass. He couldn't get his feet set.
Rolling left, try to throw it back right.
I say rolling right. Rolling left, right.
Yeah.
Rolling to his left, and a right-handed quarterback needed to be able to get his shoulders turned at least, and he just couldn't. There was too much pressure out there. Everything was good except for the fact they got some pressure on him. He had a receiver, couldn't figure out how to get his shoulders turned to make that throw. Gets drugged down, and just before he goes out of bounds, he tries to flip the ball ahead. That's an intentional grounding. There was no receiver in the neighborhood.
He had no business throwing it.
Taking the sack.
Yeah. It's not a monster penalty. It's only five more yards.
But it is, yeah, but it's still fourth and 15 instead of fourth and 10. Valencia split out wide to the right.
We're a little confused.
Alba in the slot.
I don't know.
There's an inside pitch or a shuttle pass to Cody Dyke. He's dropped after a gain of about 2 or 1 yard. That'll be a turnover on downs for the Warriors. And Eli talking to Cody right here, trying to get some things straightened out for next time. So turnover on downs, that is the end of the third quarter. So we're going to take a quick break. This is Amity Warrior Football on KLYC. We'll be back with the start of the fourth quarter after this commercial message.
Often the first impression for your business is your logo and your business card. McGinnville businesses have learned over the past 20 years that if you want a printing job done right, the place to go is Copycats. Copycats at 235 North Highway 99 in Mac will help you design your logo and business cards and then get everything printed the way you want it. When it comes to printing, the only thing you need to know is their phone number, 503-472-0119. Copycats.
Welcome back, Warrior fans, wherever you are tonight, whether it's at home in Amity because you couldn't make it down here, or you are working somewhere, or you are in Colorado, John Stearns, talking to you, listening to our broadcast tonight. 12 minutes to go in this one, running clock in the entire second half as the Warriors have a 47-0 lead on Salem Academy. Salem Academy, definitely not the same Crusader team we saw 2 years ago at our place in the was that state playoffs, first round state playoffs?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Or it was a non, might have been a non-league game. I don't remember now, but I remember it was wet, and they had a running back that in the mud absolutely tore us up. I was so impressed with that kid. I don't remember his name, but Joel remembers him because it was one of the best running performances I've ever seen. Neither team could do anything. It was just a mud pit at our place. Middle of the field was just solid mud.
Yes.
You couldn't see anything. And this kid was able to run when nobody else could run on the field.
Yeah, we could not get a handle on him.
And he ran for almost 200 yards in that game.
Oh, that's going to be on there.
There's a quick pitch out to the left. Hasselbacher turns it back up, wrapped up, dropped after a gain of about 2 yards.
I thought they were going to throw the ball. But the back did start in motion, but he can go in motion. So
Lucas May in on the tackle there for the Warriors, 6'3 junior.
He's good size.
Yeah, nice play by him, making that tackle. He's at the nose tackle position, filling in for Valencia there. It's a different look after you go quick all the time. They hand to Hasselbacher again. Again, he tries to go left, wrapped up and brought down right there near the line of scrimmage by Wyatt Yoakum, a freshman.
58.
Yoakum. Good hard tackle. Oh, we're going to have a face mask on this one. Yoakum must have got a hand on that face mask. That's too bad because he had a good wrap up there. So that'll be a 15-yard penalty. They all are on face mask. So instead of a five-yard penalty. Okay. It's college that they're all 15. Or pros, I don't know. I can't keep all the rules straight sometimes, Ron. So a five-yard penalty brings up third down and about a yard and a half. But they've still got second down on the box. It is third down. I'm quite certain. That should have been, that was two running plays. They haven't changed the box yet, but I feel confident they did not give them 5 yards and another down. Warriors, base defense here. A little spread out, actually, from their base. There's a handoff to Hasselbacher again. This time makes a guy miss. Dyke couldn't get him. He's wrapped up after a big gain across the 50 to about the 47.
Number 12.
That's Keenan Graham in on the tackle there. I know number 12. Stick man, all arms and legs right now. That kid needs to fill out that figure. He's grown so much the last couple years. But he's a kid with a high sport IQ. He understands angles and speed, and he's going to be all right as he gets a little stronger and gets some playing time here in these varsity games. Drop back, throw by Hardy into the slot. Open. He's got his receiver. He's hit and dropped by... See who came in from behind there to make that. That was Phillip West coming back from a defensive end position to make the tackle on Spangle, the wide receiver, making the catch. First down, ball at the 36-yard line of Amity. Warriors with a commanding lead established early in the first quarter. They were up 35-0 at the end of one. Two wides each side. Quick throw out into the slot to Spangle. Oh. He makes one guy miss. That was Streeter that missed him. He hits to the right sideline, finally pushed out of bounds at about the 23-yard line. We'll see where this guy marks it. He went out at the 23. He's going to mark him at the 25. Sometimes not sure about the eyes on the officials, but they mark it at the 25. Cost Salem Academy a couple yards, but it's a first down. First and 10 for the Crusaders. 8:40 and counting to go here in the game. Warriors like to pitch a shutout with some of their second stringers out there. Quick throw out this time into the left slot. Again, Spangle. This time, Graham wraps him up and drags him out of bounds with a little help from Cody Dyke over there and Eli Jackson coming in on the hit. Eli nursing that hand every time he gets up. So it's still bothering him, but playing through it. I like to see that. It's not a life-threatening injury. It's not a career-threatening injury. It just hurts. And so young man doesn't want to lose his snaps on his field senior year. You want to play every snap you can. And that sense of urgency and willingness to be tough and play through some minor injuries like that separates the men from the boys sometimes out here on a football field. Low snap, Hardy, hands to Hasselbacher, wrapped up by Nyseth and then stacked up with a host of other white jerseys and dropped to the ground. Also in on that tackle, helping bring him down, was number 58, Wyatt Yoakum, the freshman. Yoakum, solid, 5'10", 200 pounds. He's a good athlete, by the way.
Yes, sir.
A lot of times he carried the ball from that three-back position in eighth grade.
So they moved him over there on the nose for where Lucas May was.
Yep, they've got Yoakum getting some snaps at that nose guard. Hardy takes the snap, looking right, throws right, and intercepted. And that is Cody Dyke with his third interception of the day. And he is going to be brought down at the 20-yard line. A good hard tackle there by number 77. But again, Cody Dyke being in the right spot at the right time, and this time makes the pick, and I believe that's his third one of the day. Cody just doing a great job back there at that monster back position.
Yeah, that's that position you should you should be around the ball. You should be getting
cuz nobody blocks you.
No.
He's roaming free. He's the ultimate free safety linebacker combination.
You're sitting back there waiting.
Yep. And reading the quarterback, reading the offense and deciding where to go. So what you have to do is read angles. You got to take the right angle. You can't get fooled. You have to make sure you know somebody's got the ball, and then you have to close fast, have good speed, and be a sure tackler. And Cody's showing he played this last year. And, again, a year of experience under his belt. This year, he really is a true monster linebacker. Graham under center now. Keenan, sophomore, takes the snap. Hands off. Coming this way is one of the
George
Hatch. Hatch cuts back across the field. Now cuts back up the middle across the 30 down to about the 33. Secures that ball, 36, let me make sure. That is George Hatch. I said Wyatt, I think. That was George. George is a sophomore. Wyatt a freshman. They're built about the same, though.
11 yards.
That was a nice run. And what I like about both of the Hatch boys, they're very instinctual runners. They cut well. They read what's going on, and they make reaction to that.
So there's a new line in there. There's
you're going to have to help
Nicholas,
me out here.
64 and 62 are on this side.
So 64, Ashton Pappas. And 62 is Philip West, who's been playing defense all game. 78 is Lucas? Andrew Payne.
Andrew Payne,
who's
okay.
a senior. We'll get the rest of them for you if we can. Graham under center, wing T formation. Inside handoff to 32. 32 is Enrique Martinez, who's another freshman. He's a solidly built kid. Mm-hmm. And so he's getting some. These are his first snaps, I think, as a varsity player this year.
So the other side of the line is 50, which is, isn't that, that's McMullen.
Nick McMullen, and 75 is Jacob Bernard still in the game. So a little mix of starters and backups, and that's okay.
Pappas is playing center, 64.
And Pappas is a sophomore, so this is important because Vito's a senior. When Vito leaves, you got to have somebody who's got some experience snapping the ball and making the blocks. So great experience here for Pappas. Graham fakes one, gives it to number 22, who escapes one tackle and then is dropped after gets back almost to the line of scrimmage. That's Wyatt Hatch. So he's Wyatt, the freshman. Somebody got a hold of his jersey there, and he just couldn't make a move after that. He just kind of spun around.
Hope you don't mind. I'm watching.
No, that's okay. We don't need stats at this point.
The varsity guys are out.
4-10 and counting. Fun watching these young guys, though. This is the future of Amity football right here. There's going to be a lot of seniors leaving after this year.
And there's some good eighth grade guys coming, man.
But that eighth grade class is loaded.
There's some big guys. They're bigger than this group.
They're the biggest group we've seen come through in a while.
Some of them are much bigger than the guys around the field right there, except for Bernard's.
Yep. And some of the guys who play skill position are big.
Yes.
So it'll be fun to watch. Graham under center gives to Enrique Martinez. He is stacked up in the backfield. Offensive line didn't do their job there.
No. Oh.
And he is dropped after... Almost got back to the line of scrimmage. It's going to be 4th and 8 for the Warriors. 3.5 minutes left in this one. But just can't talk about how much valuable experience these backups are getting. We got third stringers out there getting varsity experience against a first string defensive team.
Most of them, which is
outstanding. I mean, they got their best players out there still.
Yeah.
And juniors and seniors out there against these freshmen and sophomores. That's just. Well, there's not invaluable.
And that's a sadness here because they've got a bunch of younger guys that are not in the game.
Yeah. They got a whole JV team over here not playing.
47-0, and why not play them?
Yep, exactly. Graham under center takes the snap. He's going to roll out to his left.
Wide
He's going to throw. He's
Wide
got
open.
Michael Duncan, who goes up and almost had it. Duncan went up high for the ball. It was a jump ball. Duncan had it in both hands but lost it as he came down. And good sportsmanship there. George Hatch giving number 53. Josh Hamilton, a senior, giving him a kind of a high five there as a nice effort from the Crusaders. And the Crusaders will take over at the Warrior 35-yard line as we come up on 2:10 to go here in the game. So 1st and 10 from the 35-yard line of Amity.
So the
new quarterback now.
The question will be, can we shut him out?
There's a handoff. This is still the starting running back, Hasselbacker.
Oh,
and he got hit. Ball's loose. Warriors have it.
Yeah.
That was a hit by Wes Streeter. Hasselbacker trying to make a cut. Streeter came in from the side and just annihilated Hasselbacker. Clean hit. Hit him on the leg. He wrapped up one leg, but all of his momentum, I'm guessing that's a sprained knee for Hasselbacker. He's up and walking. He's okay. But
Joel probably doesn't like that. But
I will say that was a
– varsity against varsity.
That's a senior running back
against
who's weaving his way through the defense, and Wes Streeter came across and hit one leg, wrapped it up with the arms, hit it with the shoulder pad, taking him down. He was past the line of scrimmage. He was weaving his way through the defense there.
What happened? They called him down.
Oh, my goodness. So they said he was down before he lost the ball, which
no,
we don't have any replay on that. So they're going to keep the ball in the hands of Salem Academy.
Why is the clock stopped?
I have no idea why the clock is stopped. Clock should still be running.
There we go.
But now they run it. Not sure. Maybe because they were trying to sort that out. Shotgun formation. Hands off to Hasselbacker again.
Oh, my.
This time he may get to the end zone. We'll see. He's down to the 10 and wrapped up and brought down at the 8-yard line. So what should have been a turnover ends up being Hasselbacker running the ball again. So it'll be 1st and goal from mark it at the 9-yard line. See if the Warriors can hold on here. 1:24 to go. see if they can keep the shutout intact against this varsity offensive unit with exception of the quarterback. They hand to Hasselbacker again, makes a cut. He's inside the five. There he's stacked up, still trying to push the pile. He may have just gotten in. He just pushed that pile into the end zone. Hasselbacker gets Salem Academy on the board with their only score of the night, 47-6 Warriors. That's great effort by Hasselbacker. He didn't give up. He was hit at about the four and just pushed the pile into the end zone. And we're going to have a timeout taken.
Well, we got a hurt player.
Nyseth down, rolling around a little bit in the end zone. He was in that middle of that pile. So hopefully just a little shaken up. And there were about eight guys involved in that scrum down there as Hasselbacker just pushed the pile into the end zone. So, and I think Nyseth's okay.
We'll see.
He's a tough kid. And so, yep, there he goes. He's getting up.
Legs are moving.
A little shaken up. You know, and sometimes what happens in there, Ron, that pile, you bang a knee on a helmet or you get rolled up on, you kind of tweak an ankle. You're really okay. It just hurts for about 30 seconds. And then you get up and you walk off the field like Nyseth just did. That's the most common injury in sports are those stingers, right, that you get. They hurt like the dickens. You get them in basketball, right? You roll the ankle, you kind of tweak it, hurts like crazy. 2 minutes later, you're back in the game, you know. Yeah. And so those are the injuries we like to see, just the little stingers like that. 50 seconds to go, there was an injury timeout, and I don't know if Salem Academy.
Well, we're off the field here. Are they going to do a?
I guess there was a timeout taken.
Extra point.
Joel talking to the official here.
Defense.
I don't know if he thought the game was going to end.
Yeah.
But he runs his defensive unit back out there. Looks like they're going to try to kick the extra point with Holler as the kicker.
Oh, they're just going to concede it.
And so
going to concede the
Warriors are going to stand in the back of the end zone and let them try the extra point here. Of course, they could just snap it and toss it to Holler and run it in.
I don't think Joel wants anybody else get hurt.
Holler kicks it. It's good. And the Warriors will walk off the field. I'm not sure why the clock isn't running, though.
Well, it's supposed to.
It should run, I think, even after a score, but maybe not. We've seen it do different things in our first three games.
Now,
but is he winding it? He's winding it. That should be the game if they wind it. But they haven't started the clock up here. So we're a little confused. If we sound confused, it's because we are. They still have 50.7 seconds left on the clock. And it looks like they're bringing the ball.
Going to kick it off.
Down for the kickoff, and then that would be it. And, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think Joel wants anybody, you know, it's senseless at this point to have anybody take a hit.
Well, nice as the starter.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Well, he had that mix in there. He's trying to keep a few varsity starters in there to kind of keep continuity. Help with the communication, make sure people are lined up where they're supposed to be. Help kids understand what they did wrong on a play. You need that on-field coaching from those veteran kids. I'm looking for the football.
So looking forward to next week. We have Coquille.
Yeah, Ron, let's talk about that trip. Are you going with me?
I will.
Okay. Unless your wife overrules?
I will.
Okay.
No, the last time I was building the deck.
Yeah. I had to drive to Medford by myself. I drove the cheerleaders
you didn't drive
to Medford.
By yourself.
I drove the cheerleaders to Medford and back. Got back to my place at 2:45 in the morning. But we won't be driving the cheerleaders this time. I don't think they're going to make the trip to Coquille.
I heard cheerleaders.
And so Ron and I will be down there at Coquille. Hopefully, I'm going to actually make a phone call and make sure I have Verizon coverage down there because that's what we use to broadcast. So here we go. Salem Academy drives a nice kick deep over the head
Don't
of everybody
let them get it. Don't
down
let
them to
do.
The 12-yard line and picked up there and running out to about the 15, down at about the 14-yard line, and that should do it. The clock should run out.
Number 40.
I don't think the Warriors are going to take a snap here.
I didn't see who number 40 was.
And so Joel should be calling his players over. I don't think he'll have them line up. Maybe he will.
No, I don't think so.
He's motioning from the sideline. There's no reason to do anything. There's 23 seconds left to go, and that's it. He's going to bring his players to the sideline. That'll do it. Final score will be Amity 47 and Salem Academy 7. So we're not going to have final game stats for you on this, but you got first half stats, and that's really what mattered in this game. But we will talk a little bit. We're headed down to Coquille next week. Coquille just dropped down from 3A to 2A.
I'm trying to see who, which league they're in.
You have the 2A leagues there?
Yeah.
Maybe playing Brookings, maybe. Down in that area. But it'll be a long road trip for the Warriors. They'll be, figured it's about a four-hour bus ride, I think. All of that. They'll probably give themselves a good 5 hours of travel time with some stops in there to eat. They'll probably, and they like to get there by five. They'll probably leave about noon, I would guess, sometime like that on Friday. Ron and I will get on the road and make our trip down there, and we'll be plan to be on the air by about 6:45 or so from Coquille and bring you all of that. Hopefully Warriors escaped without any significant injuries. Robbie Scharf down there looking for his mom. Looks like a loss. Look at Robbie. He looks lost there, doesn't he? He's just standing at the 50-yard line trying to find his mom, I think. So he looks lost. He better get back there. So, hey, hustles back to join his team. Well, he walks back to join his team. Actually, he goes over, sees number 77 from the Crusaders. They shake hands. Good sportsmanship there. It was a little chippy early in the game. I think the coach has got things settled down a little bit. And there's always lots of friendships out there. There's 67 comes over to see Robbie and shake his hand. And see 85 talking with Trevor Smith, 53 and 85, talking with him. And they're shaking hands. And so good sportsmanship when it's all said and done. Salem Academy gathers at the at their insignia at midfield, and the Warriors head down to the end zone here to our right. Warriors did what they needed to do tonight. They got out of here without any serious injuries, ran their offense the way you want to see them run their offense. Defense played excellent all night, did a good job of not giving up big plays against a good running back wide receiver in Holler.
Yeah, well,
That's something Holler, we don't practice against. You know, he is very, very shifty and quick and explosive, and so that's good for our kids to play against a back like that. We saw a power back last week. We'll never see another power back quite like that, Bennett kid. And this week we see about as shifty and quick a back as we're going to see. So those are the kind of things that as a coach you take out of that. It's like the score was kind of a foregone conclusion because the talent differential is really big, and really, so is the experience.
And mostly inside, the linemen.
Yeah, just dominant.
Offensively and defensively. Of course, we got our little guys playing on defense, but they're just so much quicker than the offensive line of Salem Academy. And then our offensive line just dominated. There was holes. We got good running backs.
Well, when we ran those counters.
When they have that kind of a hole, they're going to score.
Yep.
And it gives Tyler plenty of time to find a receiver, which he did on that one pass.
Yep. One touchdown pass tonight for Tyler. That was all.
Yeah.
But only attempted four passes. Two out of four for Tyler. So good experience for the Warriors tonight in a game that was a blowout, but they got to work on some things and got to deal with a little different look on offense than what they've seen before. So thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to get on out of here. We'll join you again on Friday from Coquille, Oregon. Any last words, Ron?
No, it's a good night to be a Warrior.
Yes, it is. Have a good night, everybody.
In business and taking care of your needs since 1983, it's D&D Electrical. Big company support, small town service. They are your full service contractor, residential, commercial, and industrial, including low voltage and security. It's D&D Electrical. When asked, their answer is usually, yes, we can do that. From solar to security systems to industrial control, D&D Electrical can handle the job. 503-472-4003. Ready to go to work for you right now. D&D Electrical, McMinnville.